Football Frenzy is back on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
We are back here at the home of the Columbia Central Golden Eagles. Kickoff just moments away between Columbia Central and Napoleon. Mark W. Daly, football is back, baby.
It's a great night for football, and that's a chilly breeze off the shores of Lake Columbia.
No kidding. Wow. It's a little bit of a chillier game that we're going to have.
But I tell you what, you think of the weather that we had earlier today, the torrential downpours. We've got clouds in the sky, but for the most part, the sun is out. We've got the captain's meeting at center field right now. It's a great night for football.
Yeah, and especially to your point earlier, it was really raining. And just looking at the forecast earlier this morning, it was like, you know, maybe we're going to have a little bit of a rainy start to this one, but I'm glad that all that cleared and it's going to be clear through this game. But
well, I think you and me and everybody on the planet was hoping for a mud fest.
I mean, yes.
Fall football is awesome when it's muddy, and I think that's kind of what we were hoping for. But again, it's a nice night for football.
Well, especially with how these two teams run the ball, how interesting that would have made the game.
Absolutely.
with it being all muddy out there and slippery, and yeah, would have been a pretty interesting game if it came to that. But it's clear weather. Field, at least to my eye, appears dry.
It does look dry.
So we should be good to go. Columbia Central, 3-6 last season. They graduated a decent amount of seniors, but bring back a mostly young team, some juniors stepping up to become seniors, lots of juniors and sophomores on this team. And that's something that these two teams have in common.
Yeah, they're both pretty young. And like you said, they both like to run the ball. It's just going to be a matter of who wants that brown jug more.
Yeah, and of course, there was a rare instance last year of two matchups between these two teams. So, and I'm not sure if they did the brown jug for the second matchup, but at least for the first matchup that we did see, Columbia Central controlled the game really in the first half. And then in the second half, that's when Napoleon really took over, able to take the lead. Columbia Central had some chances late. Napoleon able to hold on for the win. And then the second matchup, the Cascades crossover. Mm-hmm. These two teams matched up again, and that was a high-scoring affair.
Very high-scoring affair, and a squeaker of a game, too.
Yeah, and that one also went in favor of Napoleon, 46-41. So, of course, Columbia Central, they're trying to make those improvements. They want to try to get more wins, especially in the rugged Cascades. And this is a big start, big-time test for them against what I believe is going to be an improved Napoleon team.
Yeah, I would agree. I think we are going to have an approved Napoleon team. I think we've got a Columbia Central team that also has a lot to prove here tonight and the season. But, you know, what you're dealing with that first game of the season, that's the game where it feels like your defense is just starting to hit its stride. It's a little bit further ahead in the development than what the offense is. And that's probably why we saw a lower scoring affair for game one compared to the last regular season game of last year between these two teams. So your defense is going to be stout. Offense is still trying to play catch up a little bit at this point in the season.
And talk about Napoleon as well. This team 2 seasons ago was loaded, had a fantastic team, ended up winning 11 games 2 seasons ago. Mm-hmm. They graduated a lot of seniors last season, had a very young team, lots of juniors and sophomores, and despite that, still able to win 6 games and qualify for the postseason.
Got to the postseason. Well, you also forgot, you know, 2 years ago they had Grant Bradley on the team so then too.
And definitely helps.
He's pitching for U of M at the moment. But, yeah, it was a little bit, in recent history, a little bit of a struggle for Napoleon last year. But they can run the football, and that's what they hang their hat on every year, is being able to run the football. And if you can do that at the high school level, you're going to have a certain amount of success.
Yeah, and running the football is this team's bread and butter. As a matter of fact, I looked back at the stat sheet from the Napoleon-Columbia game we did last year. Napoleon threw one pass. Just one pass the whole game. They make it no secret. Running the ball is what they do. But they run a lot of interesting sets and the different little flips and turns that they do to try to change directions on you. It's really fun to watch.
When you line up in that wing tee, that's what that offense lends itself to. You never know which way the ball's going to go, which hole it's going to come out of. But, yeah, that's what they do. They try to disguise where it's going to go before they run over you.
So the fans starting to make some noise here for their Golden Eagles, literal Golden Eagles coming out wearing their gold uniforms.
I don't remember seeing this uni combo with them before.
Do they have alternate? I know it's pretty rare, but I wonder if this is maybe an alternate. Maybe they have the Navy jerseys normally.
I think they usually wear the Navies, yeah.
Yeah, unless maybe that's what they're rolling with this year. But we'll see. Obviously, this is not the only time we're going to see this Columbia Central team. We will be having a matchup with them later in the season as well.
I feel like I'm watching a Michigan versus Michigan State spring game.
That is, yeah. Yeah, that is definitely what it looks like with the colors out there. So, yeah, again, this should be I think this is going to be a really fun team. Both teams very young, trying to take another step this season compared to where they finished last season. And otherwise, I think they're getting ready to do.
Well, you notice we got both schools out there on the field. Their team has combined. Their band has combined as one. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. So we're going to step aside. They're going to do the national anthem here. When we come back, we're going to have kickoff between Columbia Central and Napoleon for our first matchup of the season. We're back in 3 minutes on K105.3.
Is your driveway or parking lot looking worn out and dingy, littered with cracks and potholes? Spruce it up with Wolverine Seal Coating and give your home or business the curb appeal it deserves. And while you're at it, extend the life of your driveway or parking lot by protecting it from the elements. Fresh seal coating and patch filling will save you thousands in the long run compared to a full replacement. For seal coating done right, contact Wolverine Seal Coating for your free estimate. WolverineSealCoating.com.
When there's work to do, ground to break, and a reputation to uphold, you need the powerful, durable Kubota RTVX, North America's number one selling diesel utility vehicle. Right now, bring home select Kubota equipment for zero down, 1.99% APR for up to 36 months, or save up to $300. Now through September 30th, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
King's Equipment Kubota of Jackson, 2524 Lansing Avenue, online at KubotaKings.com.
What will you find at Clothing Carousel? Name brand fashions at unbelievable prices. Clothing Carousel has fall clothing for the entire family and is now accepting all fall consignments. Check out the large selection of fall clothing already in stock. Hurry in to shop for the best selection to update your look. Clothing Carousel also carries Andrew's Rustic Aromas, 100% soy candles, and a variety of fall scents like banana nut, leaves, toasted pumpkin spice latte, and maple pecan waffle. Clothing Carousel on the corner of 5th and Franklin in Jackson.
We are the Neighbors, and every Friday night after the big game, things are happening at the Neighbors. It's more than just great drinks and good vibes. It's a social experiment. Who you'll meet, what you'll discover, there's only one way to find out. The kitchen is closed, so bring your own and enjoy great spirits at the Neighbors. Join us at 6060 Clinton Road, just north of Jackson. Bring your crew or fly solo. Just don't miss it. Thank God for the Neighbors.
Your local Kelly Express Mart is your one-stop shop for snacks, coffee, fountain drinks, lunch, or dinner. Not to mention some of the best pizza in town. And now, enjoy $1.99 pizza slices and grab a two-topping pizza for $13.99. You can also pick up propane tanks at all locations for your summer grilling needs. Remember to stop in and check out the newly remodeled location at Michigan and Robinson. For quick, convenient customer service above the rest, always shop Kelly Express.
At County National Bank, you're not just a number. You need a partner, not just a bank. We offer a wide range of business loans, including commercial real estate, equipment financing, operating lines of credit, agricultural loans, and more. At CNB, decisions are made locally, and we are just a call or visit away. You can also contact us online at cnbb.bank. We can evaluate your financial picture and tailor a credit solution that fits your needs. County National Bank, where your story matters.
Back to the gridiron. It's Football Frenzy on K105.3.
We are back here from Columbia Central High School for kickoff between Napoleon and the Columbia Central Golden Eagles. Connor Dockery with Mark W. Daly. Of course, thank you to Minuteman Sewer and Drain for presenting our pregame show here. As this one's set to get underway, as Napoleon kicking this one away, Columbia Central receiving the opening kickoff. And this one, a little bit of a squib kick, goes to the near sideline, takes a couple bounces, and Columbia Central not able to get to it. Napoleon with a player diving on it, and Napoleon, as a result, taking control of the first possession. Oh, my goodness.
What a way to start the game for the Pirates. Get themselves set up on the 25-yard line. And that's just how they're going to start the second half, too. They're going to get the ball to start the second half as well.
And that is not the way you want to start a football game for Columbia Central, as Nolan Kirsch diving all over that one. Again, just a little squibber and just some of those bounces. That football can be hard to pick up, and Columbia Central touching it, which, of course, grants Napoleon the right to take the possession if they get it.
And if the grass is still just a little bit moist, it's going to make it even harder to get your handle on it.
First and 10 from the 25-yard line for the Pirates. Carafino under center. Three lined up behind him. Fakes the handoff to the right, trying to curl off, and he is going to be brought down. That's going to be a gain of about 3 yards up the middle.
Looks like senior Dylan Boone, one of those in there to lay the hit. There was like three yellow jerseys in on there, but Dylan Boone seemed to be the one to come in last and polish it off and prevent that from being a gainer. They only got like 1.5.
Yeah, it looks like they only gave him about 1 yard there up the middle for the quarterback, junior Isaac Carafino. Second down and 9 coming up towards the left hash mark. We're about 40 seconds and counting into the first quarter. No score yet. Napoleon threatening early after that initial kickoff as we got a handoff up the middle and running off to the right, the far sideline, able to break through and into the end zone. Touchdown, Pirates.
He just ran through a sea of yellow jerseys. Nobody was really able to wrap him up. Just ran through people, found the open spot, and found the end zone.
And that was the senior Brenton Owen breaking through for an Aspen 1 hour heating and air conditioning touchdown, our first of the season, and that came in quick fashion. Oh, my goodness.
1 hour heating in Aspen, 1 hour. Well, that was a pretty cool touchdown.
Yeah, and that was a similar-looking play, just the fake kind of handoff, but that time he did get it
going
to him.
Two.
Napoleon lining up for two, handoff to the right to the same guy. Yeah, they went up the middle. Did they make it in? Napoleon says yes. Officials are coming in closer, waiting for the signal.
Yeah, we talk about the difficulty of seeing which way that ball's going to go in the wing tee.
Did not make it.
I was following the play off to the right, around the edge.
I was the same as you. I was watching Owen off to the side, but it looks like, obviously, he did not make it in. So 6-0 Napoleon. We're going to step aside for 30 seconds. You've got high school football on K105.3.
Industrial Steel Treating of Jackson, bringing the heat since 1943, celebrating 80 years in business. Over the last 80 years, Industrial Steel Treating of Jackson has gone from humble beginnings to becoming one of the largest and most modern heat treating facilities in the United States. Nearly every car and truck on the road today has parts that were heat treated at IST. Our commitment to quality and service sets us apart, but our dedicated and loyal employee family is why we've been around for 80 years.
The action continues. Football Frenzy on K105.3.
I'd like to thank King's Equipment, Aspen 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning, Grimes Plumbing, and Wolverine Seal Coating for their support in today's broadcast. As Napoleon strikes first, able to recover the loose ball on the kickoff at the 25, and just two plays later, Brenton Owen able to bring it into the end zone for the touchdown. 6-0 Napoleon, just about 50 seconds into this first quarter.
They squib it again.
They do squib it off to the near side. This time it's picked up cleanly by the Golden Eagles and brought down immediately at around the 40-yard line. So Columbia now setting up for their first drive of the season.
Well, and that's kind of the other side of doing the squibber like that. You're going to give the other team some pretty good field advantage here. Starting at the 40 is a pretty good spot on offense.
Yeah, and it comes, of course, at the benefit of potentially getting the turnover, which they got on that first one in the gun. Three receivers left, one to the right for Columbia. Handoff up the middle. Going to be fighting down about 2 yards up the middle.
It looked like a handful of different green jerseys all coming up from the bottom of the pile on that one. Just ran into a wall. once they got past the line of scrimmage.
That was Boston Pilisinski with the carry. 2 yards up the middle. It's second down and 8 on the right hash mark. 10:40 and counting in the first quarter. 6-0 Napoleon. Now a snap, handoff to the left side. Pilisinski again sweeping. He's going to cut back and going to be brought down at around the 45 to force third down.
And you get what you can get on that. He ended up being brought down. It looked like by number 56, Ryland Lovett. But you get a lot of players, especially young ones, who are going to want to keep trying to bounce it out, run around, get as much as they can. He saw that edge was shut down and just lowered his shoulder and went forward and got as much as he could.
Third and 5 from the 45, 10:05 to go in the first quarter. In the gun, we got two receivers right. Gets the handoff, quick throw off to the right. That one's caught up inside into the first down on the near sideline past the 50. That's a nice pass there to Elias Lucy.
And that was Braden McLean, who really, even though we're only at the 50-yard line, he saved the touchdown there because there was nobody, and I mean nobody, in front of him. If he doesn't make that stop, that's a Golden Eagle score.
Makes it to the 49-yard line in Napoleon's territory. Gain of 6 on the play. First down of this drive for the Golden Eagles as they line up once more. Connor Renfro taking the snap in the gun, fakes the handoff. He's going to take it on the ground himself, cuts back to the right, and he's going to be forced down, maybe got a yard there.
I almost wonder if that's a version of the RPO, if that was designed to hand and pull it out and to look like you're going to hand it off, pull it out and run it yourself. It's got a little bit of a look of an RPO on that one.
Gave him just 1 yard there. Second down and 9 from the Napoleon 48. Napoleon leads 6-0 about 3 minutes into this first quarter of play. Two receivers to either side. Renfro in the gun. One back with him. Takes the snap. Surveying downfield. Throw on the far sideline. That's going to be caught and immediately swarmed down. That was Luzi again on the reception. It's third and short.
Just hit him on that outside shoulder, put it in a spot. There was two white jerseys right there. Just put it on the spot where only his receiver could get it. And it looked like that was number 42, Braden Mayer, on the stop.
So that's going to be the second catch of the game for Elias Lucy. 12 yards on those two catches. And it's third down and 2. Three receivers right, one to the left. Takes the snap, Renfro. He's going to scramble, one tracing him. He's going to throw at the near sideline. That one's caught, and another one for Lucy. It's another Columbia first down.
And he caught that on a slide with three different white jerseys all around him. I got to tell you, in a game when we were expecting it to mostly be on the ground, I'm impressed so far in this first drive for Columbia, the air attack that they've been able to put together.
And Connor Renfro just looks really comfortable. He's not panicking. He had the scramble there. Able to get another first down, first and 10 from the 37 in Napoleon's territory. 8 minutes and counting in the first quarter of play. 6-0 Napoleon. Hand off to the right now. Immediately going to be forced down maybe a yard or two on the play.
And he ran into, it looks like, number 30 on that one, Carson Warner. And he actually pushed Carson Warner back about a yard. And we're seeing a little bit of, you're not exactly sure which way the ball's going to go, if it's going to go in the air, if it's going to go on the ground. Columbia doing a really good job of mixing it up. And when they do go on the air, just to kind of follow up on your previous point, he's throwing it on a dime. Yeah, we've only seen three passes, but they've been on a dime so far.
Only got him a yard on the ground. Second down and 9 from the 36-yard line.
They're taking a while getting this one in.
26-yard line, I beg your pardon. So the 26-yard line, second down and 9, 7:19 and counting. Renfro, the snap, going to be peeling out of the pocket on the far side, but the penalty marker is down. Play is whistled dead.
Don't think it's going to be for delay. The back judge just put his arm up.
Officials are meeting right here. It is going to be a false start against Columbia Central. False
start? You know, that's But, yeah, man, you get penalties like that, and those can just be momentum killers. You got Columbia, the Golden Eagles, cooking up a little something here on the ground and in the air, and all of a sudden you're just pushed back 5 yards. And you're going to see mental mistakes like that early in the season.
And that pushes them back to the 31-yard line. It's going to be second down and 14 from the right hash mark. Play resumes, three receivers left, one to the right. Renfro peels out of the pocket, throws downfield. That's caught, tight-roped, and stepping out of bounds. Dylan Penix Jr. with the catch.
Every time they roll out, I mean, they're creating space by moving the pocket. They're doing a lot of bootlegs. They're keeping the quarterback mobile. This is not a pocket, throw from the pocket kind of offense. They've got a lot of movement, a lot of moving parts on offense.
Gain of 8. It's going to be at around the 23-yard line. It's going to be 3rd and 5. 3rd and 6 around there. 3rd and 5.
You said Penix Jr. That was not lost on me. I heard that.
Clock stopped at 7. 6-0 Napoleon. Three receivers right, one to the left for Columbia. Receiver in motion to the right. Hand off to that receiver. Trying to sneak in through and going to be brought down right at the 20. He's going to be short of the first down, and it's 4th down for the Golden Eagle.
Tried to run in there, and he had a whole bunch of blockers, but that well-seasoned offensive line of Napoleon was able to push their way through his legion of blockers, and it looked like number 20, Austin Warner, was one of those in there on the stop for the Pirates, and they got them in fourth and four.
Yeah, it's about 4th and 3. That was Julian Boardman on the carry, getting 2 yards out of it. 4th and 3.
They're going for it.
Three receivers left, one to the right. Renfro in the gun, takes the snap, handoff right, trying to slip through, and in for the first down, going to be brought down just past the 15. A great play up the middle on the run, Boston Pilisinski the carry.
That was a little misdirection. He caught one way, brought it back the other, and then number 21, Davis Tallman, able to make the stop for the Pirates.
6 minutes and counting in this first quarter, so Columbia Central trying to inch their way, trying to get even on the scoreboard. 1st and 10 from the 14. Two receivers right, one to the left. One back with Renfro in the gun. Handoff up the middle, cutting off to the right. And Napoleon able to bring him down for about no gain. That was Pilisinski on the carry again.
Ashton Warner able to get past the line of scrimmage, get in the backfield, make the contact, bring him down, and prevent that one from getting away from him. I think they lost a foot on the play.
Yeah, it might have been like half a yard or something, but a nice stop there for Napoleon on the edge, reading the play. Columbia in their gold uniforms, navy pants, navy helmets, navy numbers. Napoleon, white jerseys, green pants, green helmets, green numbers. A very Michigan versus Michigan State vibe with the colors here. As loading up for the pass, Renfro evades a couple defenders, and he's going to try to tightrope out of bounds. Takes a big hit. Oh, my. Jesse Fullerton, the junior, with a big stop. Actually make it Ashton Warner with a big hit. Oh, man.
Yeah, he did take a big hit, and, I mean, it looked like it was to the upper area of the body. You could see the head snap when he took that hit. And he's not getting up. He's moving. I don't want to over-exaggerate things. He's moving, but you could tell he got his bell rung.
Yeah, he's going to get checked on right here. But, yeah, big hit there, Ashton Warner, as Connor Renfro was going out of bounds, trying to tightrope his way, and they're going to look on him. Clock stopped at 4:53, 6-0 Napoleon. It's a 3rd and long currently for Columbia Central. Of course, you got to hope that Connor Renfro is okay.
Looks like they got number 17, Sammy Truax, warming up.
Yeah, just in case they got to throw him in.
Well, he's going to have to lease it out of play. They got the helmet off. They got him moving.
So he has been helped up. Yeah, his helmet is off. So, yeah, you're right. It looks like he is going to be checked on the sideline for the time being as they continue play. So the play must go on. It's 3rd and long. They have the ball at about the 17-yard line, so a loss of three on that last play.
I'm a little surprised a flag didn't come out from that hit.
Yeah, it looked a little late as he was basically out of bounds at that point.
And it was a little high.
Yeah. So Sammy Truax taking the snap here, third and 13 from the 17-yard line, right hash mark. For Columbia Central, two receivers right, one to the left, takes the snap. Truax lines up on the far sideline, makes the catch, and able to spin, evade the defender. Did he get across the goal line? It looks like he's down just before the score. It's going to be first and goal. What a dot there from Truax answering the call.
It's like you got plug and play with your quarterbacks here. It was on the dime right there. Timing was down pat. It looks like they're just short.
Looks like the 3-yard line.
But you got a fresh set of downs to go 3 yards. And what this Columbia offense has shown us so far is they can chew up some clock. They don't get it all in one. They can just chip away, get little chunks here and there.
Nice play there. And now it's first and goal from the 3-yard line on the far hash mark. 4:44 clock is stopped in this first quarter. 6-0 Napoleon. Columbia trying to get on the board. Truax the snap, handoff to the right, charging forward and going to be stopped. It looks like right at the goal line. Columbia saying that he crossed. What do the officials say, however?
Carson Warner, one of the last white jerseys up, and that means if you're usually the last one up, usually means you're the first one there. And on the stop and preventing that one from being a score. They're not quite there yet. They got a little closer, but not quite.
So they gave him about a yard. That looked like Hunter Subajowski on the carry. Actually gave him another yard there, so going to be two. Second and goal from the 1-yard line. More spread out this time. Two receivers left, one to the right. Truax under center, gets the handoff, cutting in and into the end zone. Touchdown, Eagles!
That was, again, that little misdirection play. They head to the left, cut it back to the right. Still kind of up the gut and able to get the score. Golden Eagles evening this one up.
Julian Boardman able to sneak in with the touchdown. It was kind of weird. He kind of got stopped right at the goal line, but you saw the official put his arms up. He did make it in, so 6-6 in Columbia Central going for the field goal, trying to take a one-point lead. Kick is up, and the kick is good. So after a Aspen one-hour heating and air conditioning touchdown by Julian Boardman, Columbia Central now leads 7-6 over Napoleon. 3:52 to go in the first quarter. We're back in 30 seconds on Kent 105.3.
Don't let the summer heat catch you off guard. Beat the swelter with an AC tune-up from Aspen one-hour heating and air conditioning. AC tune-up special currently going on for $99.99. Aspen services all makes and models. Looking to upgrade? Upgrade to one of their high-efficiency Amana HVAC systems and receive up to $2,200 off select Amana systems that include warranties up to 10 years on labor and parts, along with free Wi-Fi thermostat. Online at aspenheating.com. Always on time or you don't pay a dime.
Football Frenzy returns on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
So Columbia Central able to drive all the way down the field, a 60-yard drive resulting in a 1-yard touchdown run from Julian Boardman. 7-6, Columbia Central over Napoleon, 3:52 to go in the first quarter.
Looks like they're putting Renfro through sobriety tests out there, trying to do a little concussion protocol with him.
Yeah, that was a tough play to watch. Definitely a very high and hard hit. And again, it looked like after he had already gotten out of bounds. So, oof, that's a tough one. But hopefully he's able to come back in at some point as the kick is going to be into the end zone for a touchback.
That was
Napoleon.
A boot. That was a boot,
yeah.
Man. You don't see kicks go that far too much at this level.
So Napoleon starting their second drive of the game. It took just two plays for them to get into the end zone to start this one after they recovered the initial kickoff. They were kicking to Columbia Central. Columbia bobbled it. It was a little bit of a squib kick, of course, and Napoleon able to recover it because Columbia touched it first.
Yeah, I'm still watching Renfro. They're still taking their time with him. I mean, he's up. He's moving around. They're making sure he's good to go before they send him back out. It's nice to see them spending that kind of time with him.
Takes the snap and charging forward. The whistle's going to blow. Looks like stopped for a loss of yard. Just immediately a snap and charge forward, but not able to really get anywhere with Carafino on the ground.
Yeah, it was just one of those right up the gut, and Columbia had dialed up the right defense for that. But that's what you're going to see all night long from Napoleon, is they're going to keep their formations tight, and they're going to try to run you over.
Takes a snap, quick handoff to the left-hand side, running right up the middle, charging forward, and going to be brought down past the 25 for a gain of about 6 yards there. That was Bryce Bailey on the carry. It's third down.
That was Hunter Chubakowski on the stop for the Golden Eagles. And really, once they made contact, he just kept churning his feet. You do what you're taught. You keep churning your feet and get as much as you can after contact, and that's what the Pirates are able to do.
It's going to be third down and 3 from the 28-yard line. Third and 2. Going to be a quick handoff off to the right-hand side, able to charge forward for the first down. So Napoleon converts their first third down attempt of the game on the ground with Jaden Service.
I want to say it was Eli Hawley on the stop. Now, there's a lot of yellow jerseys down there on the ground. But what they did is they handed that up to Gup, but then they faked the pitch off to the side, and they tried to pull some of those defenders off to the side and away from where the play was going.
First and 10 from the 32, right hash mark. Napoleon trailing 7-6 here, 2:25 and counting in the first quarter. Handoff quick to the left-hand side and brought down for a short gain. That was Service again on the carry.
Dylan Boone, first one there in a yellow jersey to make the stop, and preventing that one from getting away from just about a yard plus on the play.
Yeah, looks like just about a yard. It'll be 2nd and 9. 2 minutes and counting in this first quarter.
Well, you chew up a lot of clock when you're on it like that.
Yeah. They take their time, they try to beat you into submission. Lined up now for Napoleon, takes the snap, trying to get out of there. He was not able to get away before getting that handed off, and Columbia smothering him for a loss of yards.
They met him at the line of scrimmage and just drove him back for a loss. And now this Pirates offense is unfamiliar territory with this third and long.
Yeah, usually don't see a whole lot of these.
Well, that wing tee offense doesn't lend itself, really. There's a reason why we only saw one pass from him last year. It doesn't lend itself, really, to make up third and longs.
Could we see one here, perhaps? So Napoleon lining up. It's third down and 11. Takes the snap, hands off to the left-hand side, and smothered immediately. Columbia Central, another brilliant read to get the stop and force fourth down.
I want to say that was number 74 who got through first. Derek Beach among those making the stop, stuffing that. Another loss for this Napoleon offense.
That's a loss of 5 yards as well. That was Ashton Warner on the carry, and it's fourth and long for Napoleon. Looks like they're going to line up and punt this one away. So Columbia turning things up on the defensive side of the football after getting scored on in quick fashion on Napoleon's first drive. 19 seconds and counting in this first quarter. This one is punted away, fielded at around the 38-yard line, running on the near sideline. It's Elias Lucy, able to dodge a defender and down at the Napoleon 40. A nice punt return.
The coverage was designed for it to be a run towards the far side. And he had nothing but green over here on our side of the field. Took advantage of it. He ran 15 yards before he even had any type of contact from a white jersey with green pants.
So the clock stopped at 4 seconds. So we'll get a play in from Columbia before the end of this first quarter. 7-6, Columbia in front. Now trying to add to their lead as we start to head into the second quarter of play. Renfro under center, two receivers left, one to the right. One back with him. First and 10 from the Napoleon 40. Takes the snap. Quick fire pass on the far side. That's actually Truax, I beg your pardon. Renfro's still injured and now down on the far sideline for a gain of about 5 on that pass.
Yeah, they had one. That was just like a designed quick little screen there. He had one of their receivers over there who was designed to block. They pulled the end to come over there to block. So he had two blockers out there in front of him when he caught the pass behind the line of scrimmage for that quick little screen.
That'll do it for the first quarter of play. 7-6, Columbia leading over Napoleon, and they'll have a 2nd and 5 from the 35 when we get into the second quarter of play. You've got high school football, Connor Dockery and Mark W. Daly from Columbia Central High School here on K105.3, back in 60 seconds.
Hello again, this is Joel at Wilby Transit Mix Company, Jackson's only family-owned ready-mix concrete producer since 1907. Did you know that we not only service the area with ready-mix concrete and building supplies, but we also work with area builders and homeowners to pick out the perfect stone veneer or brick to complement any home or office. Come see our new showroom featuring many product lines such as Provia, Dutch Quality, and Stonecraft, and let us help you pick out or design the ultimate finishing touch to your home. Wilby Transit Mix, 782-9493.
Ding your car up in the grocery store parking lot? Trust Trips Collision in Jackson, Lansing, and East Lansing to get you back on the road and take the stress away. Trips prioritizes top-notch customer service with their state-of-the-art equipment to get you a quick turnaround. With a strong commitment to supporting the local community, they work for you. Next time you're in a fender bender, don't stress. Trips Collision, committed to quality repair and customer care. Schedule an appointment for a free estimate at tripscollision.com.
Football Frenzy. Back to the field on K105.3.
2nd and 5 from the 35-yard line for Columbia Central, leading 7-6 over the Napoleon Pirates in our season kickoff edition here on Football Frenzy, K105.3. Going to be a run up the middle. They're going to give him the first down on that run. So 1st and 10 from the 30-yard line now for Columbia on that quick run right out of the timeout.
Jaden's service among the last ones to get there to polish that one off. But there were like just a handful of white jerseys all over there right at the end to prevent that one from getting away. But not until the damage was done, getting that first down for the Golden Eagles. I like what I'm seeing on offense from Columbia Central this year.
Yeah, they're looking pretty solid, really comfortable under center with Sammy Truax filling in nicely. Quick handoff on the right side on the 1st and 10. Going to be brought down quickly and going to be maybe a loss of a yard there for Boardman.
Bryce Bailey able to get through, get the stop. Didn't quite wrap him up. Just had enough of that jersey and was able to pull him down.
Looks like they're going to give him a loss of a yard as well. He's now got net 8 yards on the game with the touchdown. Mm-hmm. For the Columbia Central Golden Eagles. And so far, Sammy Truax, 2 of 2 passing since coming in for Connor Renfro. Still, again, taking some time on the sideline. 10:40 and counting in the first half, 7-6 lead for Columbia Central. 2nd and 11 from the 31. Takes the snap, looking downfield, throw deep on the near sideline, just out of the range of Dylan Penix. Incomplete and 3rd down.
To come in as a backup quarterback and to dial up a play where you're going to be throwing into double coverage, I mean, he definitely is comfortable with his backup in there.
Yeah, and even he probably didn't expect to be coming into a varsity football game this soon into the season, but he's definitely handled the job quite nicely so far, despite that incompletion. It's 3rd down and 11.
Well, he didn't miss that by much. He put it in a spot where the defenders couldn't get it, and it was just out of the reach.
Clock stopped at 10:28. 3 receivers right, 1 to the left. Truax the snap, surveying, takes another shot on the near sideline. Going to be caught and hit immediately. Going to be short by a couple yards of the 1st down. That's a nice catch there by Dylan Penix, and it's going to be 4th and 3.
That was a pass into triple coverage, threaded the needle to get it to him, but Richie Crane Jr. for the Pirates able to get the hit and prevent that one from being a 1st down.
4th and 3 now. That was a gain of 6 on that pass to Penix. 9:52 and counting in the first half, 7-6 lead for Columbia, trying to get this first down as they try to grow their one-point lead over Napoleon. Two receivers to either side for Truax under the gun. One receiver, one back with him, I should say. Receiver in motion to the right, whistle blows. Timeout called.
They brought a lot of motion on that. You saw that? They brought a lot of motion. They were trying to confuse Napoleon. They were trying to get them to jump is what they were doing.
So going to be a quick timeout here for Columbia Central. We'd like to thank Kelly Express Mart, Wilby Transit Mix, Form Energy Drink, and Jackson Public Schools for their support in today's coverage of the football frenzy. As looks like 6-0, J-High leads at the end of the first quarter over Western in our coverage over there on WKHM. Jackson's News Talk, 970 AM, 101.5 FM. J-High and Western over there in Parma. Timeout is over. 4th and 3 for Columbia Central. Against Napoleon knocking on the door here, trying to get into the red zone. 23-yard line, two receivers short to either side. Truax the snap, looking downfield, throws deep. This one into the end zone, and that's going to be caught with one hand. Oh, no.
No.
Did he not get it? No, they're saying incomplete. Oh, boy.
Wait.
Was he just out of bounds, it looks like? That looked like a clean catch to me, but official signaled no good.
The person, the official that was on the sideline didn't make the call. It was the dude who was standing in the middle of the field who said that he was out of bounds when he caught that ball.
Ooh, that
I don't understand the physics of being able to see inbounds or out of bounds from where he was standing.
That's crazy. That's, oh, man. Wow, that looked good, but evidently incomplete and out of bounds. First and 10, Napoleon takes over from their own 23-yard line. Quick run off to the near sideline, going to be pulled down for a medium gain. That was Braden Marr on the carry.
Dylan Hammond, last one up off the pile to make that stop. But they get a good chunk on that one in first down, 7 yards.
Yeah, they were in need of a play like that after their last drive. They got a first down, but not able to get much progress from there. Able to make it up to the 30-yard line. Gain of 7, 2nd and 3. Quick hand off to the left side and up to the far sideline for the first down and forced out of bounds. Jaden Service gets Napoleon their second first down of the game.
We might be seeing the start of what that wing T is famous for. It doesn't start off potent, but they just chip away, and they tired out that D till those chunks that they're getting start to get a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. It's quite possibly what we're starting to see now here in the second quarter.
Brings up another first down to Poyan, trailing by 1-7-6 in favor of Columbia Central, 8:20 and counting in the first half on the far sideline. At the 40-yard line, lots of action up the middle as Napoleon trying to fight for about a yard, and that's all they're going to get. It's 2nd down and 9.
Yeah, right up the gut. They just ran into a flock of eagles, and they didn't get far.
That was Brenton Owen on the carry. Up to 25 yards and a touchdown. He had that 24-yard touchdown run right at the beginning of the game for Napoleon. 2nd down and 9 from the 40, far sideline, 7:45 and counting. Going to be a quick handoff up to the right side and in. Ooh, going to be close right around the first down. That was once again Owen. A lot of power up to the right side.
Yeah, and really close to giving it to him.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to give it to him. Yep, right up at the 49-yard line.
I want to say it was David Monroe. It was Monroe or Nealis, one of those two in there on the stop to prevent that. And they got him by the shoestring.
Yeah, it was close.
Barely got him to get him down. And again, I'm looking at where there's a massive bodies on the other side.
First and 10 from the 49-yard line of Napoleon, trailing 7-6 to Columbia. Handoff to the left, sweeping up to the far sideline, and going to be brought down at around the Columbia 45. That was Ashton Warner on the carry. It's second down.
See, then they made it look like they're handing it off on this side. All of a sudden, it pops out on the far side, and they pick up. They pick up a deep. Well, they don't know where the stick's going.
Well, the official's holding the ball now at the Columbia 49 only, unless he maybe went out of bounds sooner, unless there was a face mask call against Napoleon. That would explain it.
Yeah, I guess. Okay.
So that looked like it was probably after the play, and I didn't even see the penalty marker go down.
I didn't see the marker go down, and
wow, all the way back to their own 41.
I think they just called it holding. I don't know.
Yeah, holding.
Penalty for a hole. I don't know.
Ouch. For Napoleon, 7:09 clock has stopped, trailing 7-6. Still first down, first and long. Quick handoff to the near side. Oh, up the middle. That fooled me.
Yep.
And all away. Breaks free for the touchdown. Pirates. Oh, my goodness. Breaking three. Xavier Skog.
No idea. No idea how that happened, because you, me, and everybody else was watching the play come this way. Next thing you know, it's a white jersey just running away from everybody else up the gut down the middle of the field to score.
Yeah,
wow.
I had no idea. I was watching the near side. And that's
that's
what Napoleon will do for you. It's just
what
lot of different handoffs and actions, and that fooled everybody in this building. And Napoleon regains the lead 12-7. They're going for two to try to get the 2 points back.
Well, that's that wing tee. It just grinds you down. Those teams that run it and run it well, it just grinds you down as you roll through the game. Gets harder and harder the later you are in the game.
Going for two. Fake handoff going right up the middle and into the end zone. Braden Marr, two-point conversion. And it is now 14-7. Napoleon regains the lead over Columbia Central. 7 minutes to go in the first half. We're back in 60 seconds. Make it 30 seconds here on K105.3.
Hello, Jackson. I'm Jeremy Patterson, your new superintendent. For over 20 years, I've taught in classrooms, led schools, and worked alongside families to help every student succeed. My vision is simple: to empower our educators, inspire our students, and strengthen our community. Together, we will innovate in every classroom, celebrate every achievement, and ensure every child feels valued. I invite you to join me as we build a bright future together for every child. Jackson Public Schools, where community comes together.
Football Frenzy is back on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
We are back here at Columbia Central High School, where Napoleon takes over with a 59-yard touchdown run from Xavier Skog, and able to convert the 2 points, leading now 14-7.
Dude, that's a cool name.
Xavier Skog.
They got an Ezekiel on the team.
Sounds very Norse. It's like a Norse name right there.
The name game is strong in Pirate Country.
So the Napoleon Pirates have to kick this one away. Columbia Central trying to get those points back again. They feel like they should have had a touchdown on the other end, but the kick now going to the near sideline. It's going to be picked up by the Golden Eagles just around the 50-yard line. So, again, not far. That's the risk you run with those little squib, those onside little bobbles.
They obviously have confidence in their defense, and they're looking at it as a coin flip. Either you're going to get good field advantage or we're going to get good field advantage. And that first drive, it worked out great for Napoleon.
Columbia, I don't think, was expecting that at all.
And now it would be a surprise if they tried to kick it deep. Everybody's expecting it now.
So Sammy Truex still under center after Connor Renfro took a hit early in the first quarter. and took him out of the game. Three receivers right, one to the left. Receiver in motion, Truax, the snap, gets the handoff up the middle, going to be brought down for a gain of about 3 or 4 yards.
They loaded up everybody on the far side. They had their motion going that way, just tried to move the defense over to the far side, open that up to get that. And it was number 9, Richie Crane, who ended up making the stop for the Pirates.
Austin Pilisinski on the carry, and it's second down and 6 from the Napoleon 48-yard line, able to get onto their side of the field, 6:25 and counting in this first half, a 14-7 Napoleon lead in this rivalry matchup to kick off the season. Here on K105.3, with three receivers to the right, one to the left. Truax, one back with him, takes the snap, looking downfield, throws quickly to the left side, caught and immediately hit, trying to get the extra yardage, and he does get down around the 40 for the first down. Dylan Penix on the catch.
Richie Crane again, first one to make the hit. And but he just kept turning his feet, able to push him back and get that first down. I don't think that was an eagle, but we definitely had a hawk over us here.
I did notice that just before that play. That was pretty cool. That was a gain of about 7. First down and 10 for Columbia Central from the Napoleon 41. In between the two hash marks, quick snap and handoff to Pilisinski, able to get about 3 yards on the ground.
And coming up from behind to make the tackle was Jaden Service. It was like Pilisinski just kind of ran into one of his blockers right in the back of that yellow jersey, and that just slowed him down enough for Service to catch him and take him down.
14-7. Napoleon in front of Columbia Central. 5:15 and counting in the first half of play.
We had a rainbow. We had a hawk. We had some good football. We got a good start to the season so far.
Got a nice sunset coming up there in the horizon, too. Second and 7. Another handoff to Pilisinski. Kind of stumbles off to the right, and he's going to be swarmed by a pack of Pirates, and it's third down.
Third down, but, you know, oh, we had an injury. You got somebody coming up slow.
Yeah, we got a Columbia Central player down.
He doesn't look like he's comfortable. He looks like he's in pain.
Yeah. It's hard to tell who
I saw a
is.
7.
It's a 70-something, it looks like. Maybe 72. It's kind of hard to say at this point. But, oh yeah, it was kind of hard to see. It was kind of a little bit of a pile up there. But, yeah, he's got his helmet off. He's kind of just writhing in pain. Oof.
You hate to see this. You really do.
Yeah, he looks like he is in pain.
I got to see just a smidge. You know, smidge is a nice word. It's a word that doesn't get used often enough. But I got to see just a smidge of that other number. It looks like it might be 72.
That's what I was thinking, but it's the way he was kind of turning off to the side, it's just really hard to see. But, yeah, not sure what happened there. Meanwhile, again, it's still
74.
Connor
okay.
Renfro still looked on the sideline as we get trying to get an injury update on that. Yeah, I see 77 on the sideline, 74 as well. I see 70, so it has to be Gunnar Wickham, 72.
To see. Is that a 78's on the sideline?
This is us trying to figure out which number. we're in the process of elimination there.
I don't see a 73 on the sideline either.
Yeah, so I believe it's Gunnar Wickham, number 72. He is sitting up now, which is good.
Okay.
Getting looked at by
trainers 72.
Of both teams.
PA announcer able to use his technology to give us the answer. It's 72 out there sitting up now. Yeah.
And he's getting up, so looks like he should hopefully be good to take himself to the sideline. It is Gunnar Wickham. Getting up very gingerly. Not sure he injured one of the legs or he is walking under his own power, but he is getting escorted to the sideline, so
looks like he's a little he's putting weight on it.
Yeah.
That's always a good sign. But he's walking with a
little stiff, yeah.
A smidge of a gimp.
So hopefully he's okay to return. Connor Renfrow still walking around the sideline with no helmet. So at least the rest of the first half, he's not going to be back in any action.
They're just keeping an eye on him.
Yeah. Third down and six for Columbia Central at around the 37. Now a throw deep on the near sideline. Double coverage. What a catch by Elias Lucy and into the end zone. Touchdown, Eagles.
That was a catch of the epic variety. He had two guys on him right there. Number 9 was on him, Richie Crane, and number 21, Davis Tallman. And he went up and over both of them. Small, the ball was just a smidge underthrown, able to go up and over both of them, get it, and then get the score. Heck of a catch.
Unbelievable. Hey, and nothing in doubt about that one. That was a similar play like the drive before that was called back on the fourth down, called incomplete. But again, no doubts about this one. And Columbia Central going for the extra point, trying to tie this thing up at 14 as the kick is up and splits the uprights. Kick is good. We are tied at 14 with 4:41 to go in the first half of play between Columbia Central and Napoleon. We're back in 30 seconds on K105.3.
We can't predict everything in life. Perhaps no one understands that more than Michigan farmers. Weather, poor crops, the economy, all are variables that farmers learn to navigate every season. The Jenkins Insurance Group, your local Farm Bureau insurance agency, represents Michigan's largest farm insurer. They're here to help protect your farm and rural lifestyle. Call the Jenkins Insurance Group today. They're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company, at 879-5171.
Back to the gridiron. It's Football Frenzy on K105.3.
4:41 to go in the first half of play. Tied at 14 after a big-time Aspen one-hour heating and air conditioning touchdown from Sammy Truax. Absolute dot into double coverage to Elias Lucy. 37-yard touchdown on the near sideline. Wow, what a play.
They've got... The play callers have faith in their quarterback, and the quarterback has faith in the receivers. That's definitely evident with this Golden Eagle offense here tonight.
And again, Connor Renfrow, the starting quarterback for Columbia Central, he took a big hit on the sideline, and he's been out since then. And Sammy Truax coming in as the backup, and he's done a great job filling in and leading this Columbia Central team as the kick after the touchdown goes into the end zone for the touchback.
You know, it just barely got into the end zone on that one. It hit at about the 7 and matriculated in. If that doesn't go in, those Pirates are in a world of trouble at that point.
No kidding. So a little bit of a coffin corner right there almost. So it'll be first down and 20, first and 20, first and 10 from the 20. Yikes, I need to get my football yards. It's still the first game of the season.
Hey, everybody's everybody's knocking the rust off.
We're doing our best. So a quick handoff up the middle for Napoleon. Sneaking through, threw everybody off, going downfield. He's being chased by two Eagles and evades the tackle into the end zone all the way down the field.
Wow.
Did he make it into the end zone? I didn't see the signal from the official. He at least made it right down to the end. That was Braden Marr.
Yeah, they got him at the one.
Yeah, looks like he's just down at the one. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I didn't see the hands go up.
So for the defender, and I didn't get the number on it, for the defender, the hand was in the pads. Almost pulled him down with a horse collar and let go of that as he was falling down. That would have ended up being a penalty anyway if he did that.
It's a 79-yard run.
Wow.
Near the touchdown.
And again, we're looking in a different spot. Next thing you know, there's a white jersey out in front of everybody else.
I'd say that's about as big of a first down run as we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Napoleon knocking on the door of regaining the lead, tied at 14, 4 minutes and counting in the first half of play. Under center, quick handoff right up the middle, and
looks like Columbia, he lost it.
Yeah, Columbia Central saying no, he did not get in. It's hard to see who even carried that.
I think it was a mix-up on the exchange. I saw the quarterback fall on it.
Yeah, so that's going to be a loss of a yard. Carafino get diving on it. So the clock's still running, 3:30 and counting in the first half. Columbia Central looking for a big goal line stop here. Napoleon, very tricky on some of their handoffs. But there was a drive earlier, the second drive of the game for Napoleon, that Columbia Central's defense was able to get some good reads and stop them. And they're trying to get a big stop here to keep this game tied. Second and goal from the two. Handoff up the middle, charging forward, and this time into the end zone. Touchdown, Pirates, this time with Bryce Bailey on the ground.
It was just one pile moving another into the end zone there. Pirates get on the board again.
And able to get that score quickly right back. Currently 20-14. Before the two-point attempt by the Pirates, they're one of two on the two-point attempts. Trying to make this an eight-point game with 2:57 to go in the first half. They line up for the two. Fakes the handoff, able to pitch that one off, and it's going to be picked up by Columbia Central, stripped away by Elias Lucy and brought down. So the two-point no good. And the lead stays there. So after an Aspen one-hour heating and air conditioning touchdown by Bryce Bailey, Napoleon not able to get the two-point attempt. Six-point lead over Columbia Central. We're back in 30 seconds on K105.3.
Have a leaky faucet, stubborn clogged drain, or not getting enough hot water for your morning showers? Don't let plumbing problems disrupt your day. Hi, this is Matt Grimes of Grimes Plumbing. Whether your hot water heater is on the fritz and is in need of repair or replacement, your shower drain is backing up, or you just have a leaky faucet that needs fixing, we have you covered. Call Grimes Plumbing today to schedule your service call at 517-748-7173 or online at GrimesPlumbingCompany.com.
The action continues. Football Frenzy on K105.3.
20-14, Napoleon leads over Columbia Central. 2:57 to go in the first half. And now Napoleon set to kick this one away. Columbia Central with a 2 minutes and change drill right here to try to even up the score going into halftime.
Well, you got to get something here. You got to, because of that exchange that happened first play of the game, you got to get something here because Napoleon's going to get the ball back to start the second half.
Yep, because Napoleon kicked off to start the game, and of course they immediately were able to recover that kickoff off that little squib. So Columbia Central, yeah, they need to get a score here. You don't want to risk Napoleon going up two scores in a game like this. And the ball's loose again, and a pile is on it. I think Napoleon got it again on the squib on the kickoff, and they do. Unbelievable. Second time in the half. That's Xavier Skog making another big play.
How does Columbia Central look surprised at that? It's happened every kickoff.
Wow.
They look like they weren't expecting it.
So Napoleon steals another possession away from Columbia Central. Squib on the kick. Wow. Recovered by Napoleon. That's a big, these are going to be game changing plays right here. Columbia Central now looking for a big stop on defense. It's first and 10 from the 43 yard line, Columbia Central territory. Quick handoff up to the center, going to be brought down at around the 35 on the carry.
And I look surprised at it again because, again, I'm looking at the backfield. I'm looking at this way. It's up the gut. Up the gut again. It looked like it was number one, Dylan Hammond, who ended up making the stop for the Golden Eagles.
able to gain six there, I believe. That was Bryce Bailey. That's the thing about this Napoleon offense. It's so hard to track where the ball's going. It's just so fast and all the action is so close quarters. As we got another handoff, spin move up the middle and brought down near the 30. That time was Brenton Owen on the carry and in for the first down.
And look like, again, Dylan Hammond among the golden jerseys there on the stop. A little giddy up now to this Napoleon offense.
Now quickly lining up, first and 10 from the 32, leading 20-14, 2:13 and counting in the first half. And going to be a handoff and brought down for second down, a couple yards there on the ground.
I want to say that was number four, Dylan Penix, senior, on the stop.
There's another 3 yards there. It's going to be second down, make it third. Yeah, second down coming up. Play's going quick, and we got another stop here by Columbia Central. This time it's third down.
Well, I mean, they're not stopping the clock with this offense, but, they're moving quick.
1:40 and counting. It's third and about four, I believe.
Well, you know they're not going to kick it, so they're going to be going for the four here, through the fourth down.
It's at about the 26-yard line, third and four. Quick handoff off to the right and breaking through, throwing everybody off again. Nobody even tracked Braden Marr, and he's in for another Pirates touchdown.
You run it until they stop it. You run it until they stop it. They have not been able to stop it. They keep throwing us off, too, because we're looking at other spots. Next thing you know, right up the gut, no one's touching them. Another score. Napoleon has got this dialed in, and Columbia, they're just being baffled at their defense right now.
So Braden Marr, 105 yards on three carries, and now an Aspen one-hour heating and air conditioning touchdown brings the lead to 12 points, potentially 14 on the two-point conversion, charging up the middle and in to the end zone for the two-point conversion, 2 of 4. On the 2 points for the Napoleon Pirates. That time Ashton Warner bringing it in for that conversion.
Yeah, just right up the gut. And, I mean, they're just getting good chunks of yards. The first couple series, Columbia was stopping this wing tee. You felt like it was going to be a competitive game throughout the entire four quarters. And now Napoleon just running over them at will now.
So we're going to leave it right here with the time left in the first half. 1:18 to go in the first half. It's 28-14 for Napoleon over Columbia Central. And Napoleon going to kick this one away, and Columbia Central's got to be careful. They've got to control this kickoff.
I will bet you my shiny Aldi's quarter, it's going to be a squibber. That's all they've done. They have 0.0 kicking game.
Yeah, and that's why go away from what's worked.
Hey, you've been able to stop them on offense for the most part, or you've been able to get possession after you kicked it off to them.
So Napoleon set to kick this one away. Packed house, by the way, here at Columbia Central. As this one squibbed away, another little bobble. I think Columbia did control this one, and they do confirm it. Columbia did get this one. Diving all over it, just shy of the 50-yard line. So Columbia has the next 1:18 to try to get a score here and keep within striking distance before halftime.
They look like they were at least ready for it that time.
So now getting ready to line up.
Let's see what's happening on our sister station. Right now you've got Jackson on top of Western, 12-7, 1:02 in the second.
All right, first and 10 from the 49-yard line of Columbia Central. Three receivers right, one to the left. Truax in the gun, one back with him, takes the snap, looking downfield. He hesitates, takes a couple steps to his left, throw across the middle, and that's going to be caught by Elias Luzzi for a first down around the 40-yard line.
On a dime, while being chased, able to connect with his receiver in stride, brought down by, it was number 12, Brenton Owen, who hit him as he caught it.
First and 10, quick snap, throw up the middle. That's going to be incomplete. Big hit, Lucy, not able to control it, and he might be hurt as
well.
Yeah,
he took a licking. He took a licking, and he's a little slow to get up.
Yeah, he got hit right as the ball got to him. That's a tough one right there. And he's going to get looked at. So the clock stopped at 56 seconds. Yeah, just
sometimes,
man,
that's going to happen, especially when you're throwing in traffic like it's been happening in this a lot in this game. Yeah, you're going to be able to thread that needle, but sometimes you're going to take a lick as soon as that ball gets there, and that's what happened.
89 yards on 6 catches for Elias Lucy before that play right there. And unfortunately here, I can look at the sideline here with Gunnar Wickham, who was down with an injury earlier in the game. It looks like he's got an ice pack wrapped to his right calf. And he's on some crutches as well.
You expect that to be on the knee or on the ankle, but calf's kind of a weird spot.
So he's going to get escorted to the sideline, so he's probably going to be done for the rest of the half, all 56 seconds of it.
It's been a long 2 minutes of the second quarter.
So second and 10 following the incompletion. With the snap, Truax looking downfield again. Takes a deep shot. This is for all the marbles, and it's caught. Oh, my goodness. Caught by Dylan Penix. Touchdown, Eagles. What a throw.
Again, double coverage down there. Threw it just outside of where the defenders were. Penix runs around the defenders to get to where only he could get the ball, and it's a score for the Golden Eagles.
Absolute dot.
Wow.
Unbelievable. This game is crazy. 28-20.
It's a tale of two offenses here. They're going to keep it on the ground and run it over you. And Columbia is going to be keeping it in the air and throwing it over you.
My, oh my. So we'll see if they're lining up for just the extra point. They've just been going for the kicks all game. We'll see if they try maybe for two here. I think they are just going to go for the kick.
Well, they got a smidge of a kicking game, so might as well use it if you got it.
And now we're going to have a Columbia Central timeout as a guy was late coming in from the sideline. So 49 seconds left in the first half. Of course, obviously, they got to do the extra point kickoff. So and what we've seen, anything can happen. I mean, Napoleon has had a lot of plays where they just sneak through, and it's like you don't even see how they get through, but just a guy sneaks through diverted.
They've been able to strike quickly, especially the latter portions of this first half. They've just been able to run at will over Columbia. But, I mean, Columbia's been able to do whatever they want in the air.
All right, so the timeout is over. Getting ready to kick this one up for the extra point. Columbia Central, after a huge touchdown pass from Sammy Truax to Dylan Penix for a big Aspen 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning touchdown. Kick is up, and the kick is good. Perfect on the extra points today. Columbia Central pulls to within 7. 49 seconds left in the first half. We're back in 30 seconds on K105.3.
Hello again, this is Joel at Wilby Transit Mix Company, Jackson's only family-owned ready-mix concrete producer since 1907. Did you know that we not only service the area with ready-mix concrete and building supplies, but we also work with area builders and homeowners to pick out the perfect stone, veneer, or brick to complement any home or office. Come see our new showroom featuring many product lines such as Provia, Dutch Quality, and Stonecraft, and let us help you pick out or design the ultimate finishing touch to your home. Wilby Transit Mix, 782-9493.
Football Frenzy returns on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
We got a game here, folks. 28-21, Napoleon over Columbia Central. And Napoleon, for all the great plays that they've made in this one, Napoleon just finds, Columbia finds a way to just make those big plays right back. And that was absolutely critical to get the score.
They're hanging. They're hanging with them, and it's not a runaway by any stretch of the imagination. We've got a good, tight, competitive football game here on the shores of Lake Columbia.
And definitely seems very reminiscent of the Cascades crossover game.
Oh, yeah.
The final game between these two teams last year, and of course ended up being the final game of the season for Columbia, as this one is kicked away. This will be at around the 5-yard line. This time it'll be returned. Now running up the near sideline for Skog, swarming, and a whistle's going to be blown. Not sure if he stepped out of bounds. Looks like he did. And
yeah, it would look like it was number 4 able to get down there, wrap him up. Didn't pull him down, but at least Dylan Penix was able to get him out of bounds on that one.
So it's going to be at about the 25, Napoleon their own. And Columbia Central needs to be stout on their defense up the middle to prevent Napoleon from sneaking through.
It feels like you just got to load up that box. They've had so much success up the gut.
Napoleon by 7 with 41 seconds left, and they will get the second half kickoff as well. Handoff on the right-hand side, and Skog will be brought down at around the 35 for the first down. They're going to give it to him.
That was a whole flock of Eagles on the stop on that one. But, yeah, he gets the first down. But, I mean, if you're Columbia, you just want to prevent that big one that's hurt you so much in the first half.
So that's another first down for Napoleon, 11 yards on the ground for Skog. Now a quick handoff onto the left-hand side. Columbia Central trying to bring him down out around the 40, and they do. It'll be second down here. The clock's going to keep running here. And I think Napoleon might just be saying that's it for the half. They did call a timeout. Yeah, I saw them quickly running off to the side.
Well, I mean, this offense doesn't lend itself to be in a hurry-up type of format. It's designed to keep it on the ground. It's designed to have misdirection. It's designed to confuse. It's not designed to be quick.
So they're taking their time here, and that's all Columbia Central needs to do is just prevent that big play, prevent that big breakthrough, that leak out. Just can't let that through.
Well, they brought their linebackers up, and they've squeezed them in tighter in the middle. They figured they'll be able to catch them if they try to get the corner, but they're just trying to prevent that play that's just beat them up so much in the first half is that right up the gut.
So it'll be second down and 6 from the 40-yard line. 21 seconds left.
Okay, they got 4 guys right there in the middle.
Takes the snap, pitches this one out on the far side. Bryce Bailey able to sneak up on the sideline and forced out of bounds at around the 45 to stop the clock again at 13 seconds, and he didn't even get the first down quite. It's third down now out of bound the 43-yard line.
Oh, that's what they're doing. They're keeping it away from the middle, and they're running around the edge to try to get the clock stopped.
They might only have another 2 plays left in them. And Napoleon.
Well, they lined up and they came back to go in the
huddle. Well, I mean, they did get the clock stopped, so I think they were playing hurry up, and they were like, wait a minute, we can take our time here. So the clock stopped at 13. 3rd and 3. Quick snap up the middle, able to sneak through for the first down. Columbia Central trying to pull him down at around the 43-yard line in Columbia Central's territory. So he did get the first down. That was Skog. Clock is ticking. They did call the timeout at 6 seconds.
I'm just not sure what you dial up with your offense with 6 seconds to go. I'm willing to bet they're going to try to go right up the gut again. That's where they've had the most success. Little bit here trying to run around the ends, but Wow, that's been your moneymaker so far.
That was 14 yards on the ground for Xavier Skog. He's got 84 yards on three carries with a Aspen one-hour heating and air conditioning touchdown. So Napoleon with the ball. Be first and 10 from the 43 of Columbia. 6 seconds left in the half. Leading by seven. Got to try to sneak through here. It's going to be really tough, and I don't even think they have any timeouts left after that one.
Well, you can't take them with you. Might as well use them up.
Columbia looking for a stop going into halftime to keep this within seven. Takes the snap, fakes the handoff, stumbles. Owen has it. He's going to be brought down, and that will do it for the first half of play, able to get down to about the 38-yard line.
Jibakowski on the stop for that one. And, yeah, we're at halftime. We get to enjoy some fried chicken and macaroni and cheese.
So 28-21 is the halftime score. Napoleon in front of Columbia Central. And it looks like they called a timeout just ahead of the half. I saw the motion there from the official. Again, I was not sure that they had any timeouts left. So it looks like we have one more play in store.
Who called the timeout?
It looks like the one of the teams called timeout. There had to be Napoleon.
Well, yeah, because one of the clock stoppages was an out of bounds. So I guess that would make sense. Yeah, they probably did have that final one in their pocket.
Here we go. Last play of the half. Now 1 second left.
Wow.
It's going to be second down and five for the Pirates.
It's been a long 56 seconds.
Takes a snap, quick handoff up the middle, and this time brought down. So unsuccessful there on getting the score with 1 second left.
Hmm.
And that'll do it for the first half of play. That time able to bring it to about the 35, just 3 yards on that gain. And that'll do it for the first half, 28-21. Napoleon over Columbia Central. Napoleon will get the kick in the second half. So we're going to step aside for 3 minutes, and then we have some special audio from MHSAA to play, and then we'll take another three-minute break, and then myself and the Mark W. Day, we will break down what we saw between these two teams in this first half of play. You've got high school football, the kickoff edition here on K105.3.
Sometimes the stock market can be up and down. When that happens, you might wonder what it means for your investments. How should you react? How should you prepare? If you have questions like these, or if you'd like a professional second opinion about where you stand, give me a call. I'm Casey Sykes, a financial advisor at Morgan Stanley in Jackson. Look us up online at The Sykes Group at Morgan Stanley.
Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC. Member SIPC.
Here's your last word for the Spelling Bee Championship. Your word is best.
Best? Can you use it in a sentence?
Dr. B at Summit Orthodontics is the best orthodontist for braces and Invisalign.
Yes, Summit Orthodontics is the B-E-S-T for your braces and Invisalign. They even have the B-E-S-T TikToks.
Correct!
Yay, I'm going to use my winnings on my new Invisalign.
Schedule your appointment with Dr. B at Summit Orthodontics today. SummitOrthoBraces.com.
When there's work to do, ground to break, and a reputation to uphold, you need the powerful, durable Kubota RTVX, North America's number one selling diesel utility vehicle. Right now, bring home select Kubota equipment for zero down, 1.99% APR for up to 36 months, or save up to $300. Now through September 30th, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
King's Equipment Kubota of Jackson, 2524 Lansing Avenue, online at KubotaKings.com.
You know who opens drains others can't? Minuteman Sewer and Drain. Sewer and drain experts. The only ones you'll call when you have a problem. Because no matter when it is, as always, Minuteman Sewer and Drain is there with same-day service. 24-7, 365. Minuteman Sewer and Drain will be there on that day you need them. Never hesitate to call. They can fix a problem before it becomes a bigger problem. And they stand by their name and guarantee their work. They open drains that others can't. MinutemanSewer.com.
We are the Neighbors, and every Friday night after the big game, things are happening at the Neighbors. It's more than just great drinks and good vibes. It's a social experiment. Who you'll meet, what you'll discover, there's only one way to find out. The kitchen is closed, so bring your own and enjoy great spirits at the Neighbors. Join us at 6060 Clinton Road, just north of Jackson. Bring your crew or fly solo. Just don't miss it. Thank God for the Neighbors.
Introducing Form Energy, the energy drink that delivers best-in-class taste using high-quality ingredients at targeted levels with only natural flavors, zero sugar, and natural caffeine derived from green tea extract. Form Energy is designed to provide the hydration and mental focus you need to reach even the most ambitious goals in great flavors, Grape Smash, Screamin' Freedom, Orange Fury, and Blue Blitz. Unlock your full potential with Form Energy. Available now.
New sports start this school year, and some existing sports see changes. I'm John Ross, and this is This Week in High School Sports, powered by the Michigan Achievement Scholarship. Welcome back to another school year and another season of highlighting stories from across the state. This Week in High School Sports runs weekly through the end of the winter sports season. Let's start the new school year with the MHSAA's newest sport, girls field hockey. 36 varsity teams will compete for an MHSAA championship this year. On the very first day of play last Tuesday, Ann Arbor Father Gabriel Richard, Farmington Hills Mercy, Ann Arbor Green Hills, and Grosse Pointe South were all victorious. The regional round for field hockey will start October 8th, and the championship game will be played on October 25th. Boys volleyball is the other new sport getting started this year, and that will begin in the spring. One sport seeing a change is tennis. Both the Lower Peninsula boys in the fall and girls in the spring will have all four of their division championships at the Midland Tennis Center. Each division will play over a two-day period, and all four divisions each season will compete over a two-week period. In the LP for the boys this fall, that means Division 4 plays October 15th and 16th, followed by Division 1 on October 17th and 18th. The following week, Division 2 plays October 22nd and 23rd, with Division 3 wrapping things up on October 24th and 25th. For more on the field hockey and tennis seasons, please go to MHSAA.com. It's time for Game Balls, when we highlight a trio of standout performances from the past week. First, Gaylord senior soccer players Lucas Hella and Matthew Vanderveer, who each scored twice in a 5-4 win over Petoskey, Gaylord's first win over the Northmen since 2019. Montague senior golfer Cadence Fox, she fired a 75 to win medalist honors at the West Michigan Conference Jamboree. That score tied the program record for all-time low round. And a Grand Haven volleyball player Mallory Vodashek, she recorded her 1,000th career kill in a match during the Lakeshore Classic.
Graduating seniors could qualify for a tuition-free skill certificate or associate degree through the new Community College Guarantee, no matter their GPA or your household income. Or if your child plans to attend a four-year university or career school, the Michigan Achievement Scholarship Program has them covered. They could get up to $27,500 toward a bachelor's degree or up to $4,000 for career training. Complete the FAFSA to get started at mi.gov/achievement.
Our weekly Be the Referee feature takes a look at the fine art of officiating with registered official Paige Winnie.
Let's talk about a very unlikely but also very fun possibility on the golf course today. Golfer 1 is playing their approach shot first from about 100 yards out. Their shot takes two bounces on the green and rolls straight into the hole for an eagle. What a shot! Golfer 2 is next and has a shot from about 80 yards out. Again, after a couple bounces, it's rolling straight for the hole. It rolls into the cup, but because the first ball is still in there, it hops out and comes to a stop about 3 feet away. What's the ruling? It's still an eagle for the first golfer, but the second now has to putt from 3 feet out. There's no penalty, but the ball is to be played as it lies. Hopefully the birdie putt is good.
Thanks, Paige. Now more than ever, we need officials. If you're interested, please go to the MHSAA website now to register. On the football field, the MHSAA 11-player football finals are just a little more than 3 months away. This year, the even divisions, 2, 4, 6, and 8, will play on Friday, November 28th. the odd divisions, 1, 3, 5, and 7, on Sunday, November 30th. All of those games will be at Ford Field in Detroit. It will be a busy four-day stretch of football in Detroit with the Lions and Packers on Thanksgiving Day and Michigan State playing Maryland at Ford Field on Saturday, November 29th. The eight-player finals will be 1 week earlier on Saturday, November 22nd at the Superior Dome in Marquette. And for the first time, the eight-player semifinals will be played at neutral sites. Previously, those games were played at the higher-seeded school. Selection Sunday is October 26th, and the playoffs start 5 days later on Friday, October 31st. For more on football or any of the other seven fall sports, go to MHSAA.com or follow us on X, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, or YouTube. You've been listening to This Week in High School Sports, powered by the Michigan Student Aid, a production of the MHSAA Network. Thanks for joining us. I'm John Ross, and we'll be back next week.
Improving the financial quality of your life is Aeroquip Credit Union's mission, and their AeroPerks checking account makes it easy. You'll get a big perk for what you're already doing, like signing up for e-statements.
Check.
Have 15 signature-based debit card transactions totaling more than $75 a month.
Done.
Have a direct deposit of $1,000 or more monthly.
Yep.
Use online banking each month.
I do it all.
That's all you have to do to get your huge AeroPerk, a 4.07% APY just for doing what you're already doing.
They really are improving the financial quality of my life.
For details about the AeroPerks checking account, call Aeroquip Credit Union's Plymouth Street location at 789-2890 or the Lawrence Avenue location at 789-2886. Aeroquip Credit Union, improving the financial quality of your life. Online at aeroquipcu.com. Federally insured by NCUA. An equal housing lender.
Your local Kelly Express Mart is your one-stop shop for snacks, coffee, fountain drinks, lunch, or dinner. Not to mention some of the best pizza in town. And now, enjoy $1.99 pizza slices and grab a two-topping pizza for $13.99. You can now pump gas at all locations 24 hours a day. Remember to stop in and check out the newly remodeled location at Michigan and Robinson. For quick, convenient customer service above the rest, always shop Kelly Express.
You know who opens drains others can't? Minuteman Sewer and Drain. Sewer and Drain experts. The only ones you'll call when you have a problem. Because no matter when it is, as always, Minuteman Sewer and Drain is there with same-day service. 24-7, 365. Minuteman Sewer and Drain will be there on that day you need them. Never hesitate to call. They can fix a problem before it becomes a bigger problem. And they stand by their name and guarantee their work. They open drains that others can't. MinutemanSewer.com.
What will you find at Clothing Carousel? Name brand fashions at unbelievable prices. Clothing Carousel has fall clothing for the entire family and is now accepting all fall consignments. Check out the large selection of fall clothing already in stock. Hurry in to shop for the best selection to update your look. Clothing Carousel also carries Andrew's Rustic Aromas, 100% soy candles, and a variety of fall scents like banana nut, leaves, toasted pumpkin spice latte, and maple pecan waffle. Clothing Carousel on the corner of 5th and Franklin in Jackson.
At County National Bank, we believe in the power of personalized service. Whether you're saving for a rainy day or planning a major purchase, we offer a range of deposit accounts and loans tailored to your needs. Our dedicated retail banking team is committed to providing exceptional service, helping you navigate your financial journey with confidence. With convenient in-person branch locations and digital banking options, managing your finances at CNB has never been simpler.
Football Frenzy. Back to the field on K105.3.
We are at halftime between Napoleon and Columbia Central for our week one kickoff of Football Frenzy here on K105.3. Connor Dockery with the Mark W. Daly.
Yes, sir.
Got a couple minutes left in halftime. Big first half, specifically second quarter, 28-21 lead for Napoleon, and both teams had big plays in that first half. That was a fun half of football to get us going in this season.
It was a fun half of football. I would like to say it was very diverse in the type of offenses. It just, both these offenses are one-sided. You've got Napoleon, which is nothing in the air. It's 100% on the ground, and it's mostly been up the gut. They make it look like they're going outside, but the next thing you know, they're halfway down the field with nobody touching them from up the gut. And the other side of the ball, I mean, we've got a thrilling air attack from Columbia. They're throwing it up in the air. They're throwing it at double coverage. You got a quarterback of the backup variety who can sling it, and he's throwing it into double coverage, and you've got receivers who are just going above and beyond and fighting for the ball. This is fun to watch.
Yeah, this has been incredible. So let's start with Napoleon just running Columbia Central into the ground, as they do every opponent. I mean,
oh,
this
yeah,
is
this
just,
what they do.
Yeah, this is that's Napoleon football. And they've combined, and granted, these numbers might not be 100% accurate. I probably missed a carry or two because that's how quick Napoleon is. So my number, again, this is probably too low, quite
the
frankly.
Unofficial.
Unofficial. 274 rushing yards for Napoleon. Again, no passing, and not even a pass attempted. Four touchdowns.
And about 270 of that was up the gut, I bet.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say it was. They did not do anything on the outside edge, really, at all. So let's look at the individual stats right here. Brenton Owen got us going with the scoring with a 24-yard touchdown. He's got 47 yards and a touchdown. Bryce Bailey able to mix in a touchdown in there. He's got four carries, 19 yards. And then some of the big carries, Braden Marr, one of the few seniors on this Napoleon team, four carries, 108 yards with a touchdown. And then our guy, we keep talking about how cool his name is, Xavier Skog. Three carries, 84 yards, and a touchdown as well, including a 59-yarder as well. So those have been the four big guys so far. I would say primarily in the second quarter it was between Skog and Marr getting those big carries, but Brenton Owen showing some nice force on some of those sides as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, Skog, all he's missing is a battle axe and a mullet. It's got such a Nordic sound.
Yeah, get some of those braids in there. Yeah, he's got such a Nordic sounding name. So Napoleon, again, all on the ground, but they've been doing it in a lot of different ways. And
well, when you line up in that wing T, I kind of hate to sound like we're talking about Jack Flaherty, but you never know what you're going to get. You don't know.
But in the good variety.
You don't know what you're going to get. Is it going off a tackle on the far side? Is it going to be off the edge on this side? Is it going right up the gut off a center? You just don't know which way that ball's going to go, and by the time you think you know, it's somewhere else.
If we wanted to make a proper Jack Flaherty comparison, this would be every time Napoleon carries the ball, it's either a touchdown or a fumble and a turnover.
I don't think they've put it on the ground on offense yet. There was a missed exchange, and the quarterback fell on it. But other than that,
they've got a decent amount of carries, but not a lot of success.
Yeah.
For example, they've gotten a lot of runs from Boston Pilisinski, 7 carries for 20 yards. They did get that quick rushing touchdown on the goal line from Julian Boardman as well. But other than that, just 28 total rushing yards for Columbia. It's been otherwise all in the air. And the first four passes, all completions for Connor Renfro before he was injured and taken out of the game. But since then, for our guy, Sammy Truax, the backup quarterback, 7 of 10 passing for 2 touchdowns, 1 each to Elias Luzzi and Dylan Penix. And a lot of dots, too. And he arguably should have one more as well with that play that was called incomplete and out of bounds on the near sideline.
Called out of bounds by the official who was standing in the middle of the field.
And not the official that was standing right
there.
Not the
one that was on the sideline. No, that was, it was a little odd. Now we see Renfro still with his helmet off, and you got the backup still throwing. You see number 72 sitting in the cart right now. His day is going to be done. And we also had, number 0 who was injured out there earlier.
Yeah, Lucy.
Lucy's got his arm in a sling.
Yeah, so that, I don't know, is that a 9, I think? Jaden Gresham.
Mm.
So I think that was a previous
injury,
thankfully at least. But, yeah, still without a helmet, Connor Renfrow, so I doubt he's going to come back in this game, just probably playing it safe. Because, again, it looked kind of shaky. Maybe they were doing some of the concussion protocol on the sideline, and it just did not really look
it's
great.
It's better safe than sorry. I mean, they know so much more about how to handle that type of injury. You know, back in the day, you got pressured to go back in, and we're smarter about that kind of stuff now.
Yeah, so better play it safe than sorry. And with how Sammy Truex has been throwing the ball, you know, let's stick with him. And just let him keep playing.
You couldn't tell a difference.
Yeah. Well, and we were talking with the scoreboard operators here as well that he'd played last night with JV. So he could be coming up on a quarter limit as well. So he played, obviously, all four quarters there. So will potentially Columbia have to look at a third stringer even right here for the second half under center. So we'll have to see. But it is Napoleon starting the second half with the ball. Columbia Central ready to kick off, as that'll do it for our halftime report.
Would they count that full first quarter?
I don't know.
I don't
it was
know.
Midway through that first quarter that he went down, so that we'll just have to find out once Columbia takes the offensive side of the ball. So Columbia kicking this one away. Napoleon receiving, going from left to right on your radio dial for this third quarter. Napoleon leads 28-21. If you're Columbia Central, I would say this is probably like a must stop right here. You can't let Napoleon keep getting those two-score leads, as this one will just bounce into the end zone for a touchback on the kickoff.
Yeah, they got a boot on that, don't they?
Yeah.
You don't see that a whole lot at the high school level, at least in the Cascades.
The rugged
Cascades. Rugged Cascades, being able to get that touchback.
So Napoleon lining up at their own 20-yard line, as has been par for the course for them this game with all the touchbacks that they've drawn from Columbia. So they're ready to go. Trying to get that touchdown back that they gave up just before halftime. Under center, quick handoff up the middle, sneaking through for a big gain. One man bringing him down. Nearly able to break through again, but a big stop there
and
by Columbia Central.
He made contact on that one. Multiple contact on that one, but just nine times out of ten, the low man's going to win. He was the low man, had the leverage, just kept chopping his feet and kept going. So he earned that first down.
122 yards on five carries for Braden Marr there on the ground. First and 10 from the 34-yard line. Another carry up the gut on the right. Going to be brought down at around the 35, it looks like.
Last man up off the pile, obviously, has a yellow jersey. Number 21, that is Siler Nealis. First one there on the stop.
So that was service on the carry. It was at the 40-yard line, I beg your pardon. He's now got 20 yards on four carries, Jaden Service. It's going to be second down and four from the 40, about 50 seconds and counting into this second half. Quick handoff to the far side, in for the first down, and past the 45.
And Napoleon has figured out where to go. They kind of found the soft spots in this Columbia Central defense, and they're able to, you know, even when they're not getting it all in once, they're able to just kind of chip away, get the chunks that they need, and move the chains.
So another first down for Napoleon, leading 28-21 over Columbia Central here at the home of the Golden Eagles. Now on first down, first and 10 from the 46. A penalty marker is down after the carry. It was thrown in the secondary.
Well, it was kind of came in after everything was said and done. Yeah, usually when a flag comes in, we say, hey, it's going to be holding. Hey, it's going to be this.
Yeah, and it was mid-play.
It's like they're
right
going to
step
it off before we even get a signal.
It's a face mask call. Right. Against the point. That's the second one that they've had this game. So that'll bring them back. Napoleon was ready to line up, but the officials haven't even done the walk yet.
Yeah.
for the yardage.
Okay, we're going to walk. Nope, now we're not. Yep, we're going to walk. He'll take a stride. He took a stride, then brought it back.
Take a step. Oh, bring it back.
Yeah.
Okay, now here we go. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 yards.
There it is. Boy, kind of feel like I was watching, you know, waiting for the numbers for the Powerball there to see how far he was going to go.
So, first and 20 for the Pirates.
Spinning the wheel with Drew Carey.
7-point lead over Columbia Central, 10:43 to go. Clock stopped in the third quarter. Official with their hands up before the start of the play. Trying to get in there.
I don't know what we're waiting on.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the stoppage is. So the officials are going to meet here.
Well, the dude in the white hat's walking away.
He's going to have a quick chat with Derek Schell, it looks like.
Huh. It'll be a quick chat with Coach Schell.
We, of course, had him on both of our shows this week.
He's passionate about his team, and he gets to the point.
Yeah, it was fun to chat with him. We also had a chance to chat with Columbia Central head coach Dylan Zaborowski as well. And one thing that both these coaches had to say, they definitely had a lot of nice things to say about each other. Definitely a lot of respect there between these two schools.
It's a rivalry. I don't want to say it's friendly rivalry, but it's a rivalry that's got respect on both sides. You know, they started the game with both bands doing the national anthem together.
Still not sure what's happening. The officials done talking with Coach Schell, but they do have the ball back on the field, I think.
Nothing's changed. Ball's in the same spot. All right.
Not sure what the deal was.
That was fun.
Yeah, first and 20. All that for no change in result. Big tackle there up the middle. Going to be maybe a loss of yards. Great stop there for Columbia Central.
It looked like that was number 73. First man there to make the stop. Colton Ropp. Big body for that Columbia D.
No gain on the play. Ashton Warner, the ball carrier for the Pirates. Clock running again, 10:13 and counting. In this third quarter, second down and 20 for the Pirates. Winding up, Carafino under center. Takes the snap, quick handoff to the right-hand side and brought down. That was Marr on the carry and a nice tackle by Carson Warner.
I'm still a little gun-shy because now I'm just automatically going to the middle of the field to see if I should be following a white jersey. And that time they ran the ball to where I thought they should be. They've been running it all game. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Okay, all right.
That's what they're trying to do as well. They're trying to throw you off. So I beg your pardon. That was actually Timothy Creech on the stop. Here we go, third and 19. Fake handoff now goes to the near side. On the near sideline and a big tackle by Columbia at the midfield on that carry by Jaden Service. And Dylan, it's fourth down.
Dylan Hammond making the stop and forcing the Pirates to dial up that fourth and 7 play.
So a gain of 10 on the play for Service. He's now got 30 yards on 5 carries, but it's still going to be fourth down and about 7. 9:19 clock is stopped. In the third quarter, 28-21 lead for the Pirates over the Golden Eagles.
Why would the clock be stopped?
Here we go. Fourth down. Ooh, going to be an offsides encroachment. Or maybe a false start. We'll see if they were forced to be jumped.
Nope, they're facing the other way.
Yep. So that's a big penalty against Columbia Central.
So, yeah, we went from a fourth and long to a fourth and short.
Which benefits Napoleon.
It does. It does. Only a few times has Columbia been able to stop them with a loss on play. With this type of offense, it's a win if you can keep them to just 2-plus yards on a play.
So now it's 4th and 2. Quick handoff up the middle. Columbia Central getting to him quickly,
down.
But he did get brought down. Both teams say they had it, so depends on who you ask. Definitely close, but what do the guys in the stripes say? Columbia Central gets possession,
wow.
And they get a stop right at the first down marker. Oh, my goodness.
That's exactly what this Columbia defense needed. They dialed up something at halftime. They've been a little more disruptive for that Napoleon offense. Of course, having that penalty that knocked them back to 1st and 20 didn't help them out much. But you dial up a turnover just as they're about ready to get another fresh set of downs. That's just the momentum that Columbia needed.
So Columbia Central takes control at the 45-yard line, 9:13 to go in the third quarter, trailing Napoleon 28-21 in week one. Three receivers to the right, one to the left. Truax in the gun, one receiver, one back with him. Quick handoff, trying to dodge some of those Pirates flying in and able to recover and get about 4 yards out of it, out of what initially looked to be a pretty ugly play.
Well, the Pirates just kept, they're crossing the line of scrimmage. They were diving in there, and he just sidestepped every one of them and then bolted forward for a little bit of a gain.
Boston Pilosinski on the carry. Now 2nd down and 6 from the 49. 8:43 and counting in the first half. Three receivers right, one to the left for the Eagles. Truax takes the snap. Quick handoff immediately again. A spin move for Boardman, and he's going to be swarmed for a loss of yards at around the 44-yard line.
Yeah, there was a lot of white jerseys there, but it looked like it was number 5, Bryce Bailey, who was able to get back behind the line of scrimmage and get that stop.
So it'll be a loss of 3 yards. Now just 5 net yards for Julian Boardman. Again, Napoleon has not only controlled the running game on offense, but on defense as well.
I'm going to bet you my nice ink pen with the rubber stylus on it that this is going to be a pass. They're going to air it out, probably throw in a double coverage.
And actually, beg your pardon, actually it is a different quarterback, the third stringer, Avery Soto. And he's going to get the snap on the far side, pass incomplete on the 3rd and 9, and it's 4th down. So, yeah, we were right talking at halftime with the scoreboard operators with the quarter limit for Sammy Truax playing JV last night and the first half tonight mostly on varsity, and Avery Soto now the third stringer coming in.
Yeah, you can tell a little bit different field on that one. He was running for his life a little bit over to the far side, but and not taking those deep shots like we saw in the first half. That was more of a crossing route. Should have been a high percentage kind of pass, 3-4 yard gain.
What's tough is
Going for it. You're on fourth.
Going for it on 4th and 9. Oh, he bobbled the snap and just has to dive on it, and it's going to be a turnover on down. So, and that could have been one of those plays where they try to, punt it away, trying to fool you, but whatever it was, it did not work. And that's going to be a turnover on downs. Just a tough way to end a drive there.
A turnover pretty much right at the exact same spot where they started that drive.
So that's going to bring Napoleon to the Columbia 40-yard line for Napoleon's second drive of the half. Great field position for the Pirates. 7 minutes and counting in this third quarter. No score yet for either team in the quarter after a big scoring second quarter. It's 28-21 in favor of Napoleon. Ball looked like it came loose in the backfield. Napoleon is going to keep it. It's going to be a loss of yards. 2nd and long.
All of a sudden, that ball appears to have gotten slippy. It's finding its way to the turf.
So, yeah, loss about 3. So second and 13 from the 43-yard line of Columbia, 6:33 and counting in the third quarter. Napoleon lining up. Going to get the quick handoff up the middle, spinning through Skog, and he's going to be brought down at around the 35.
All right. I'm following here on this side. They got me again. I can't.
Now, let me tell you.
Can't shake it.
I have to be looking through my binoculars at this Napoleon offense, because if I'm looking here with my naked eye, there's zero chance I'm seeing what's happening. They're just so quick and so precise with their movements.
And the funny thing is, I know exactly where my binoculars are in the office. I know exactly where they are.
They're not with you. That's
they're,
the important
they're in
part.
The office. They're not here.
So gain of six. It's now a third and seven for the Pirates. Now going to be a quick handoff up the middle, trying to fake on the outside. And did he make it for the first down? It's close. I believe that was Skog again on the carry. It was.
Yeah,
and it's fourth and short.
Couldn't quite tell which one it was that came up last out of that pile. It was just a mass of white and with a mass of yellow.
So fourth and one from the 31-yard line for the Pirates. They're 0 of 1 on fourth down on that last drive. Couldn't make it happen. Columbia Central got to stand tall here. 5-10 and counting in this third quarter. And it's going to be the tush push, the whole group moving forward. And they get a little extra as well. Going to be brought down past the 25 for the first down for the quarterback, Isaac Carafino.
Yeah, that was. You know, I thought they should have gone with the brotherly shove back in the day. But tush push seems to have stuck, and now everybody's using it.
Hey,
not banned in the Cascades for sure.
When the Super Bowl champs use it, I mean, it's kind of hard to get away from it at that point.
Yeah.
Pirate push, perhaps. There you go.
Wow.
So first and 10 from the 23-yard line for Napoleon, leading by 7, 4:35 to go in the third quarter. Going to break through on the outside, sweeping, and going to be forced out of bounds at around the 10. Brenton Owen on the carry for the first down.
That was a big hit on the far side in a yellow jersey to prevent that one from being a score.
Trying to take control of that edge right there. The ball is going to be right on the 10-yard line. It's kind of hard to see right there. 60 yards on seven carries for Brenton Owen, the senior. 4:14 and counting in the third quarter. 7-point lead for Napoleon. Quick snap handoff on the right, and he's going to break through for a little bit of yardage. It's going to be second down. That was once again Marr on the carry.
Now we now have an Eagle slow to get up. A little bit of cramping, it looks like.
Kyler Nealis, it looks like. 21. A lot of injuries tonight.
Yeah, we've got some Eagles that are falling for sure.
So he's going to be looked at by the trainers. That was a carry by Marr for 4 yards, 127 yards on 7 carries with a touchdown for the senior Braden Marr. Clock stopped at 3:57 with the injury. 28-21, Columbia Central over Napoleon. We'd like to thank County National Bank, the Sykes Group at Morgan Stanley, Farm Bureau, Jenkins Insurance Agency, and Trips Collision Center for their support in our broadcasts all season long here on K105.3 for Football Frenzy. Of course, the first of 9 regular season games, including the Cascades crossover at the end of the season, and then, of course, some postseason games after that. You know, it's inevitable. One of these teams has to make it.
2013, Jackson on top of Western, 8-13 in the third.
And that was one of those matchups that's like kind of hard to gauge, especially with the question marks surrounding Western coming into the season with the guys that they lost.
Well, those two teams had a classic district championship 3 years ago at Withington.
So we're good to go. Second and six for Napoleon right at the goal line. Second and goal and a handoff on the left, and that threw everybody off. Everybody lost track of Jaden Service, who walks it in for a Pirate touchdown.
We were all looking up the gut. We're looking at the middle. All of a sudden, it's coming out the far side. And touchdown for the Pirates.
So Napoleon just bludgeons their way for another score.
And they chewed up some clock, too.
Yeah, took up a big chunk of that third quarter. And they are able to maintain their two-score difference against Columbia Central. And going for two, as they usually do, they're just 2 of 4 on two-point conversions in this one. After that, Jaden Service, Aspen 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning touchdown. Quick handoff on the near side. Owen sweeping and in to the end zone on the near sideline for the two-point conversion. And Columbia now sees themselves down 15. It's 36-21 in favor of the Napoleon Pirates. 3:45 to go in the third quarter. We're back in 30 seconds. This is K105.3 Football Frenzy.
You know who opens drains others can't? Minuteman Sewer and Drain. Sewer and Drain experts. The only ones you'll call when you have a problem. Because no matter when it is, as always, Minuteman Sewer and Drain is there with same-day service. 24-7, 365. Minuteman Sewer and Drain will be there on that day you need them. Never hesitate to call. They can fix a problem before it becomes a bigger problem. And they stand by their name and guarantee their work. They open drains that others can't. MinutemanSewer.com.
WKHM-FM, WKHM-FM HD1, Brooklyn, Jackson. It's Football Frenzy on K105.3.
36-21, Napoleon over Columbia Central. 3:45 to go in the third quarter following a Aspen 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning touchdown from Jaden Service. Now 36 yards and that touchdown score on 6 carries.
Napoleon, like I said, not as successful in the second half as they were in the first half. It feels like Columbia dialed some things up to impact their wing T, but still able to impose their will and get that score.
Well, unfortunately as well for Columbia, they're running on a third-string quarterback as well, as the whistle's going to be blown on the kickoff by Napoleon, a penalty marker on the far sideline where Napoleon was kicking from.
Have to imagine they're offsides on that one.
Yeah. Went a little bit
lined up right. I don't
too
know.
Too early on that one.
A little different of a squibber. They've been doing more of an onside kind of a look, kind of a kick earlier, and they tried to kick that one to get it.
Yeah, that was more of a standard squib, I would say, this one. But
standard squib.
Yeah, that's
No, I like that.
Push them back a little bit. Is that a phrase you thought you'd hear on a standard? Was that on your bingo card for week one?
You know, it was on there as much as Smidge was. So,
so Napoleon penalized. They'll be back 5 yards. And here's another standard squibber. This is going to be bobbled a little bit, but picked up by Pilosinski, and he's going to be brought down by about 4 Pirates after a short gain on the return around the 35-yard line.
Kind of what you expect here to see that type of a kick and that type of a return. Pretty typical. Pretty typical average starting spot now for the Columbia offense.
So it's going to be around the 34-yard line. And so Columbia, of course, started the game with Connor Renfro under center. And midway through the first quarter, got injured on a high hit. And it was Sammy Truex who took over, who played very well. But he's at his quarter limit, played last night for JV. So now it's the third stringer, Avery Soto, under center, and he's going to hand this one off the middle, cutting off to the left, and Pilosinski brought down for a short gain.
Looks like it was number 20 for the Pirates getting in on the stop for that one. So Ashton Warner wrapping him up and kind of a swirl around before he brought him down to the ground.
gain of 3 for Pilisinski, 27 yards on 9 carries. And it looks like Columbia is going to have to rely a lot more on their running game. I think they actually have a different quarterback in as well, because I see Soto on the sideline. Trying to see who that is. Going to fake the handoff. Maybe just going with twin running backs back there as Pilisinski just taking the snap directly and running off to the side. Yeah, we got Dylan Penix and Boston Pilisinski back there. So might just be maybe even for a couple snaps here and there at least going with just twin running backs.
Kind of a makeshift wildcat.
Yeah.
Kind of a not full-on wildcat. But, yeah, not your standard wildcat.
Not your standard wildcat. Okay. Would you see a standard squib in that game plan as well? It's going to be 3rd down and 2 from the 43-yard line, 2:13 and counting in the third quarter. Napoleon leads by 15, Columbia Central ball. Going to be a penalty marker on the snap in the backfield. And a false start for the Golden Eagles.
Oh, yeah, you've got both of them back there. Both, I mean, standing shoulder to shoulder in the quarterback position. So trying to create a little confusion and misdirection of their own. Because you don't know who's getting it, then you don't know which way it's going to go. So,
well, and when I was back in Colorado, the Ray Eagles, the team that I broadcasted for, they would do that a lot. Of course, they still had the standard quarterback, but there was a lot of plays where they were both lined up kind of side by side, and you didn't know, like, there was plays that they would do it more like a two running back system. So there was plays you didn't know who it was going to. So this will be now a 3rd and 7 following the penalty. Takes the snap, quick handoff on the near side, swarmed and brought down by the jersey. That was Julian Boardman on the run, and it's 4th down.
Bryce Bailey making the stop on that one, grabbing a handful of jersey, and actually pulled him down on top of him, and he's a little slow to get up. He made the tackle, but he pulled him down on top of him by the jersey, and now he's up on it. Now he's back down. He was trying to get up. He was up on a knee, and...
Yeah, it's something with that right leg. Definitely in pain there. So it's a 4th and 9, it looks like, otherwise. He is going to get up quickly, and he's going to hop his way. Maybe a little bit of a cramp, that looks like.
Could be.
Just trying to work that cramp out.
Oh, yeah. It's apparently it wasn't your standard cramp.
Come on. Standard.
He worked it out quick. He's back in the huddle. If you have a stoppage, though, you have to go to the sideline. If they stop the game for you, you got to sit out a play.
So that brings it back to the original line of scrimmage. It's 4th and 10, likely a punt here for Columbia Central. So they got Avery Soto back out there.
It's got to be a punt. Yeah. It's got to be. They don't line up like it's going to be, but I think I remember this from last year.
Yep, they line up. No, they're going for it. Soto lining up, throw up the middle, and incomplete. That one, the intended target was Dylan Hammond, and that's going to be a turnover on downs.
Okay. You know, a gutsy call. That's definitely a gutsy call. You know what? Might be a little second guessing going on right now, but if it goes the other way, it's brilliant.
So Napoleon takes over, and especially 90 seconds left in the second quarter. If they're able to get a score on this drive, that's like a backbreaker right there.
It's a dangerous spot to give this Napoleon offense the ball.
Basically just on the cusp of the red zone.
I mean, and you don't even need to strike quickly here. You just need to chew up clock. Get positive yards, chew up clock. You're in the driver's seat right now if you're a Pirate.
So 1:29 to go in the third, 15-point Napoleon lead, and a handoff on the right side, able to break 3 for another big gain, and breaking a tackle and in to the end zone. Jaden Service, touchdown Pirates.
He runs into the pile, keeps his feet moving, nobody wraps him up, bounces it out to the side, and just runs through 3 other defenders and gets in for the score. Pirates in that Aspen 1-hour heating and air conditioning touchdown.
That is back-to-back touchdowns as well for Jaden Service. He scored on the last drive as well, the 6-yard touchdown, and now a 34-yard touchdown. So the first half, You had a little bit of Brenton Owen and Bryce Bailey getting the work done in the first quarter. The second quarter, it was a little bit of Xavier Skog and Braden Maher. And now the third quarter belongs to Jaden Service with the two-point attempt coming up. Running off to the middle, and Skog, it doesn't look like he made it.
Oh,
he did
just,
not make it.
He's a half yard short of getting in there.
So 1:20 to go in the third quarter. Napoleon, another big score, and they just keep growing that lead, doubling up Columbia here, 42-21. We're back in 30 seconds. This is high school football on K105.3.
Ding your car up in the grocery store parking lot? Trust Trips Collision in Jackson, Lansing, and East Lansing to get you back on the road and take the stress away. Trips prioritizes top-notch customer service with their state-of-the-art equipment to get you a quick turnaround. With a strong commitment to supporting the local community, they work for you. Next time you're in a fender bender, don't stress. Trips Collision, committed to quality repair and customer care. Schedule an appointment for a free estimate at tripscollision.com.
WKHM-FM, WKHM-FM and HD1, Brooklyn, Jackson. It's Football Frenzy on K105.3.
42-21, Napoleon extending their lead over Columbia Central with 1:20 to go in the third quarter. And Napoleon, wow, we knew this was a young team last year, still able to make the postseason. But, I mean, bringing back a lot of their guys, and still a very young roster. They're looking good in this one.
They are looking good in this one. And you know, this is not an easy offense to run. And this is something they're running little variations of it from grade school all the way up to the high school.
Now another more semi-standard squib right there, and that's going to be cleanly returned by Columbia.
And finally, Columbia. It feels like they're finally ready for it. It was when the ball got that, you know, the football's such a weird shape, but it just takes weird bounces, goes whichever direction it wants to. So finally, instead of it just depending on one person falling on it, when you at least get it stopped or slowed down, you've got three jerseys going to fall on it now.
So before the last drive, Columbia behind by two scores. They gambled on a fourth and long, unsuccessful, and then the next play, Napoleon able to score. So, again, you got to have those gambles sometimes, but unfortunately for that time, Columbia didn't work in their favor, and now behind three scores.
Well, you gave this offense that you haven't really been able to stop since the first quarter. You gave them outstanding field position. And again, you make that, you're brilliant.
First and 10 with the twin backs. Going to be a handoff. Pilisinski's going to run off to the near side. Swarmed by two. Ball is loose. Couple guys dive on it. Looks like Columbia keeps it, but it's going to be a loss of yardage there behind the line of scrimmage. They gave it to Napoleon. Oh my goodness. I was looking through the binoculars, and it looked like Columbia got it, but evidently picked up by the Pirates.
There was three white jerseys there, but the one that came in that made the hit that knocked it loose was number 20, Ashton Warner. Came in before the whistle was blown and just laid a big hit on the handful that were there in that pile and knocked the ball loose. Now we got a timeout for Columbia.
Wow, just demoralizing last couple of drives for Columbia Central, unfortunately, as Napoleon just really driving him into the ground on both sides of the ball. We have a timeout on the field. We're going to take a timeout as well. We're going to be back in 30 seconds here. This is Football Frenzy Week 1 on K105.3.
Industrial Steel Treating of Jackson, bringing the heat since 1943, celebrating 80 years in business. Over the last 80 years, Industrial Steel Treating of Jackson has gone from humble beginnings to becoming one of the largest and most modern heat treating facilities in the United States. Nearly every car and truck on the road today has parts that were heat treated at IST. Our commitment to quality and service sets us apart, but our dedicated and loyal employee family is why we've been around for 80 years.
Football Frenzy is back on Jackson's hit music, K105.3.
Napoleon, before the timeout, forcing another turnover, a lost fumble by Columbia Central on just their first play of the drive. And Napoleon able to take over at the Columbia 38-yard line, leading 42-21 with 1:09 to go in the third, and they might not be finished yet.
Back-to-back possessions with outstanding field position.
Going to be a quick handoff up the middle. Columbia getting to him quickly, but still a decent gain on the ground for second down.
Yeah, so you're kind of at the point where you just want to play safe football. You want to protect your lead. You just want to kind of keep it simple, keep that clock rolling, and just keep running it up the gut, because even if you're not going to break away for a big play, you've already shown that you're not going to let this Columbia defense stop you.
About four on the ground from Jaden Service, who has the last two touchdowns for Napoleon. Second and six from the 34-yard line, 30 seconds and counting in the quarter. Going to fake the flip off, going to go right up the middle again and in for the first down for the Pirates once more. First down, Napoleon. That's Skog again on the carry.
Whistle on the ball, another. Oh, I was going to say it looked like somebody was. Yep, you got number one limping off at the moment.
Oh, my. So it'll be around the 25, 26-yard line that the ball was spotted. But, yeah, just these injuries piling up in week one for Columbia.
Well, you can see the frustration on the team. He's coming off, threw his helmet down. Earlier, you had one of the linemen throwing their helmet. There's frustration here on this side of the field.
So now a Pirate dives over a Columbia Central Golden Eagle and able to get a couple yardage out of that on first down.
See, now I was watching the other side. I thought it was going. I thought it went left when it went up the gut.
So gets about 2 yards at the end of the third quarter. Time expires. 42-21. Napoleon running all over Columbia Central. We're going to step aside. Back in 60 seconds, this is high school football on K105.3.
Hello, Jackson. I'm Jeremy Patterson, your new superintendent. For over 20 years, I've taught in classrooms, led schools, and worked alongside families to help every student succeed. My vision is simple: to empower our educators, inspire our students, and strengthen our community. Together, we will innovate in every classroom, celebrate every achievement, and ensure every child feels valued. I invite you to join me as we build a bright future together for every child. Jackson Public Schools, where community comes together.
Farmers are the roots that anchor our great state. You serve as stewards of the land and nourish all of us with your hard work. The Jenkins Insurance Crew, your local Farm Bureau insurance agency. Thank Michigan farmers for what they do every day. When it comes to protecting your farms, they've been doing it for over 100 years. It's time to talk about how they can help you protect what matters most. Call 517-879-5171 or visit them online at jenkinsinsures.com. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Back to the gridiron. It's Football Frenzy on K105.3.
Second down and 8 from the 24-yard line for Napoleon to open the fourth quarter, leading 42-21 over Columbia Central. Week 1 action on K105.3. Connor Dockery with TMWD, the Mark W. Daly. Second and 8, quick handoff to the right. Brenton Owen gets it, and he's going to be smothered for a short gain. Napoleon able to read, Columbia able to read that one well, and it's third down.
They just stuffed it. It was a fleet of Pirates up against a flock of Eagles, and it just didn't go anywhere.
A fleet of Pirates?
They're in ships, right?
They could be in this case. I said a pack of Pirates earlier. I don't know if that even works.
I don't know. I'm going to be
honest. Barrel of Pirates?
My start and end to Pirate terminology starts and ends with Johnny Depp. So
I'm right there with you, my friend. Third down and 6 for the Pirates as Carafino trying to peel away, and Columbia Central able to smother him for a loss of yards. And it's fourth down. Good stop there by Columbia, but we got another Golden Eagle down on the play with maybe another cramp.
Looks like the cramping. And it's the two that were in on that stop right now. I can't quite catch their numbers, but
That one looked like Noah Dankert.
Number 12 coming off the field. Yeah, Dankert. One of the two on the stop there ended up getting cramped up. Now we've got fourth and long. Very rare to see the Pirates, the pack of fleeting Pirates, in a fourth and long tonight.
It's fourth and eight. 10:51 and counting in the fourth quarter. Sinapoyan trying to keep the drive going to try to add to their lead. Takes the snap, pitch out to the near side, going to be sweeping Brenton Owen, and he's going to be brought down. And a turnover on downs for this fleet of Pirates.
You get the ball on downs, and you prevent the Pirates from scoring, but this isn't necessarily good news for Columbia either. Because the second half offense hasn't really been able to accumulate too many yards, and you're deep in your territory here.
So it's turnover on downs for Napoleon, and we did have a Pirate down.
Oh, we had a Pirate down. How about that?
Brenton Owen after the play. He is walking under his own power.
Yeah.
But Columbia takes over at their 22-yard line. Trying to put together quite a rally. So lots of crazy scoring in this one. Been up and down in terms of the quarter. So 7-6 lead for Columbia in the first quarter. And then Napoleon outscoring in the second quarter, 22-14, to lead 28-21 at halftime. 14-0 in favor of Napoleon in the third quarter, bringing us to our current score, 42-21.
We're tied up on Deering Road right now, 20 apiece between Jackson and Western.
Boy, that's a fun one right there. Taking the snap, Soto back in, takes a deep haul on the far sideline into triple coverage, and that's going to be incomplete, but a penalty marker after the play at the spot of that pass, potential pass interference here.
Yeah, that's in the area of pass interference. There was a little celebration that happened when the Pirates popped up. We'll see what they decide the flag's going to be. We have a confab of the striped variety.
And it is against Napoleon.
Yeah. Yep, pass interference. So that'll be a first downer for Columbia.
So that'll give Columbia a little bit of a boost there on that pass attempt, resulting in a penalty.
I'm gonna go ahead and step that off. Move the chains.
Clock stopped at 10:27. This brings us to about the 37-yard line. First and 10.
And that's kind of what you have to do right now if you're Columbia. You can't waste time handing it off. You got to score. You got to score now.
Got to be quick. Soto's still under center. Three right, one left. Takes the snap. Tried to fire up, but he hesitated. Now running on the far side, and he is going to be sacked. That's Jaden Service making plays on both sides of the ball now for the Pirates.
And Service is not getting up.
Yeah, Soto looks hurt on that one.
Yeah, so that Soto, I mean, he's not getting. Wow. They're going to be starting eighth graders here soon at quarterback.
Yeah, not to obviously make jokes about these injuries, but yeah, it's crazy just the depth depleted already in this game with all these injuries on Columbia Central's side. And that's already, again, that's the third string quarterback out there.
Yeah.
So it looks like he's getting his left leg checked on after getting sacked by Jaden Service.
Hendon Hooker's available. Okay, he's not available.
Right, yeah, I think he got signed with the Panthers. So.
All right.
What about Teddy Bridgewater?
He's with Tampa. Yeah.
Any backup quarterbacks out there that needs employment?
Get one from the Browns.
Maybe they can.
Get one from the Browns. That's right.
Maybe they can let Maybe Jay Cutler after his DUI.
Crowded.
Maybe they can commute his sentence so that he can fulfill community service.
They're spending some time with this young man on the ground, so he's there's obviously something quite concerning happening out there.
Yeah, he's in a lot of pain.
Yeah, and our clock crew brings up a good point. You don't have anybody warming up.
And it is just going to be – it is just going to have to be just a twin running back the rest of the game. Because just unfortunately, just these injuries piling up.
Well, he's walking off in his own power, has a smidge of a limp. Definitely doesn't have your standard gait.
So after that sack, looked to be a loss of about 4 yards on the play.
Now we're going, back to that two-back setup.
Second and 14 from the 33-yard line. Takes a snap and, lining up for the throw on the near side. That's just out of the reach of Dylan Penix.
Who is it?
An incomplete.
Throwing.
That was Elias Lucy now taking snaps.
Okay.
So we have now had four different players attempt at least one pass for Columbia Central tonight. So Connor Renfro starting the game unfortunately got hurt. That brought in Sammy Truex, who did a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, due to his quarter limit, he had to not play in the second half because he played last night for JV. And then Soto, unfortunately, getting hurt. Now a throw up the middle. Intercepted that one, Carson Warner. And he's going to be running on the far sideline, and he's going to be stopped at around the 20. Another turnover forced by Napoleon.
As Columbia, though, you're doing what you got to do. You can't just be content handing it off at this point in the game. You got to try to go for the win, which means you got to air it out at this point. So you're on quarterback number four. You got to do what you got to do to get the win.
So if you include those four kickoffs that Napoleon was able to snatch away from Columbia, that's four turnovers on the Golden Eagles.
Wow.
So 9:46 to go in the fourth quarter, 42-21 in favor of Napoleon, and they have it in the red zone again, 19-yard line following that turnover. More prime position here. Takes a snap, quick handoff up the middle, and going to be brought down at around the 10-yard line. Another quick rush for our friend Braden Marr.
Yeah, run it up the gut. Take your time. You're in command. Second down. Just let that clock tick away. Keep your guys safe. There's already been a lot of injuries tonight. Just keep everybody safe. Just chew up the clock and get out of here.
9:18 and counting. Gain of 7 on the play from Martz. Going to be second down and 3 from the 12-yard line.
You got Dylan Hammond warming up on the side now.
Second and 3, takes the snap. Quick handoff on the right for Skog, and he's going to be brought down quickly. I believe he made it for the first down, but it's close.
Hammond and Losey both practicing dropbacks and throws with each other.
Going to be at about the 9-yard line. I think they're going to say second and inches. They're trying to decide.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not quite enough for the first down.
Well, you don't have that much more to go to get the first down. I mean, the sticks are like right on top of each other.
Third and inches, going to be a handoff on the right-hand side and brought down quickly. I don't even think he made it yet.
He might not have.
And that was to a backup as well, Casper DeFiore.
That's going
to
bring up fourth and
one. And he didn't even gain anything. Fourth down for the Pirates in the red zone. They're starting to trickle in some of the backups here. 7:52 and counting in this one. 42-21 lead over Columbia Central. So fourth and one from the 9. Takes a snap, tush push, and pushing through near the end zone. Did he make it?
Well, it looks like they're about a yard and a half short.
But regardless, he did make the first down.
Right.
So first and goal for Napoleon. 7:33 and counting in the ball game. Napoleon looking to add to their 21-point lead. It's going to be at about the 3-yard line.
Having some player personnel changes out there for the Pirates.
So first and goal lining up now. Carafino still under center, but still several new players out there. Quick handoff to the right and sneaking into the end zone. Did he make it? He
yep.
did. Touchdown Pirates. Casper DeFiore comes in for a couple of snaps and able to get the score.
Putting 6 more points up on the board and just, again, showing that Napoleon showing that Columbia can't stop them on the run game. Just kind of moving that ball at will.
Yeah, just so tough. And you, especially in the second half, consistently advantageous field position. As a matter of fact, their first drive of the second half was that touchback to start the half, start on their 20. Their 4 drives since then starting in Columbia territory.
Yep. But, you know, turnovers and whatnot, not being able to move the ball.
Hand off to DeFiorio, brought down right at the goal line, did not make it in time into the end zone for the 2-point conversion. So just 2 of 7 on 2-point attempts for Napoleon, but they still have a massive lead, 48-21 over Columbia Central. We're going to step away for 30 seconds. This is high school football on K105.3.
Don't let the summer heat catch you off guard. Beat the swelter with an AC tune-up from Aspen One-Hour Heating and Air Conditioning. AC tune-up special currently going on for $99.99. Aspen services all makes and models. Looking to upgrade? Upgrade to one of their high-efficiency Amana HVAC systems and receive up to $2,200 off select Amana systems that include warranties up to 10 years on labor and parts, along with free Wi-Fi thermostat. Online at aspenheating.com. Always on time or you don't pay a dime.
The action continues. Football Frenzy on K105.3.
We'd like to thank Industrial Steel Treating, The Neighbors, Clothing Carousel, Summit Orthodontics, and Minuteman Sewer and Drain for their support in tonight's coverage of high school football, as we got an Aspen one-hour heating and air conditioning touchdown from Casper DeFiore from Napoleon, putting the Pirates up 48-21 with just under 7 minutes left in this one.
Neighbors, doesn't that just sound like a fun place to go?
Yes.
That sounds like that'd be a hoot. Hey, we've got Western on top. They are on top 27-20 out on Deering Road over the Vikings of Jackson.
That's a big game. Again, that was a tough one lining up our schedule. You know, do we do this one? Do we do that one? But we decided, hey, why not do both? So another squib, and that's going to be immediately handled by Columbia there. Sully York going right to him, and he's able to get it just ahead of the midfield.
Snatch that out of the air. And Richie Crane, I don't know if you're going to give him credit for the stop, but he was the first one to get hands on.
So it's going to be the 49-yard line for Columbia Central to set up shop. And as you mentioned, a cast of characters that were taking practice snaps on the sideline on that last Napoleon drive. So we'll see who they have as quarterback for Columbia Central. Could we even see maybe a fifth guy throwing a pass?
No.
Looks like they still have Luzi out there. Takes the snap, quick handoff, and going to be brought down. Julian Boardman, it looks like a loss of yards by maybe 1 yard.
I'll say that was number, 73 in on that?
Looks like a half a yard. So second and 10, and a half, maybe. 6:30 and counting in this one with a 27-point Napoleon lead.
Oh, they're going to have to try to air it out.
Three receivers to the left, one to the right. Takes the snap. Luzi takes the throw on the near side, and that one is incomplete with the intended target, Dylan Penix Jr.
Yeah, he was about five yards off the target on that one. And it looked like it was... I mean, it hit the 50s. It hit the 50 right on the turf. So it was It was a little off the mark.
Luzi 0 of 3 with an interception passing. And Columbia on another third down. They're 3 of 9 on third down in this one. 6:16 clock is stopped. Third and 10 from the 49. Takes the snap, surveying downfield, throw on the far sideline. That one's caught.
That's first down.
Going to be brought down for the first down. That's a solid play right there to Cole Edmonds for the completion.
Well, it was no secret what they were doing. They had everybody spread out, kept one guy back just for a little bit of protection. I had everybody spread out, ran crossing routes, able to find the soft spot in the middle, get it right to him, get that first down.
Good for 11 yards on that first down and the first catch of the game for Cole Edmonds. Inside 6 minutes to play in this one with a 48-21 lead for the Napoleon Pirates. First and 10 from the 41 of Napoleon territory. Takes the snap. Throwing this one deep on the near sideline, having to backtrack a little bit. Turns around, makes the catch. Turns and tries to get some extra yardage and a big hit falling around the 10-yard line. Dylan Penix, a big play there.
Able to, it's what they had success with in the first half. You throw it up knowing that your guy's better than their guy when it comes to catching the ball. Trust your receivers. And it looks like for that drive, we kind of got back to that a little bit. Now, number six, Aiden Burrows came in and just laid a leg. It was another high hit from that Napoleon defense.
Gain of 29 yards on that pass. Impressive play. We'll see if that gives him some confidence after that throw. So big first down, first and 10 from the 12. 5-12 and counting. Snap to Luzi, throwing the near sideline. That one's caught and brought out of bounds at around the 5.
Real close to what we were seeing in the first half. Number 27 right there. First one to hit and wrap up, Casper DeForio. For the Pirates. Kept him out of the end zone.
It's about the 4. Kind of hard to see. 4-yard line, I'm going to estimate. About a gain of 8 on the play. 103 yards on 7 catches for Dylan Penix. Big game for him.
They can get a first down here without getting in the end zone.
Takes a high snap and going to be a penalty mark in the backfield, whistling the play dead. A false start for Columbia Central.
Just when you get a little something going.
And it is still second down at least, so it doesn't totally kill them here. Brings it back to around the 10-yard line, 9 yards.
Sorry. I first thought my cord was longer here.
Nearly some technical difficulties here in the press box here at Columbia Central. But we're good to go. It's going to be second down and 8. Second down and
Keeper.
7. Keeper on the right side. Luzi able to run on in and cross the goal line for a Columbia Central touchdown.
A little confusion of their own they dialed up, pretended to hand it off, and everybody was going left. And he kept it, ran towards us, ran around just a couple white jerseys, and able to get the score for Columbia Central.
So that'll at least give this team little boost of confidence in a second half, particularly that has not gone their way. Less than 5 minutes left in this one, trailing by 21 points. We'll see if they go for two here, perhaps. Columbia Central still huddling up and figuring out what they want to do. They are going for it. Going for two here. Takes the snap, fakes the handoff, throw off to the near side, makes the catch, and walks across the goal line for a successful two-point conversion. That little connection developing between Luzzi and Penix.
Yeah. You know, it just feels like he had to settle down a little bit, kind of get his eagle wings about him. And once he got a little more comfortable, was able to make something happen in the air.
So we'll step aside for 30 seconds. A 19-point lead for Napoleon. 5 minutes left in this one on K105.3.
Hi, this is Matt Grimes, Grimes Plumbing. Is a leaky faucet driving you crazy? Or maybe that running toilet just won't stop running? At Grimes Plumbing, we handle all your plumbing problems, from clogged drains, leaky faucets, to hot water heater repair and replacement. Don't let plumbing issues ruin your day. Our expert team is just a call away at 517-748-7173 or online at GrimesPlumbingCompany.com.
Football Frenzy returns on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
48-29, Napoleon over Columbia Central. After Napoleon chipping into the deficit a little bit, a nice little touchdown run. Aspen 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning touchdown run from Elias Luzzi for 9 yards to chip into that deficit a little bit.
Hey, you know, after, you know, kind of going through some quarterbacks because of injuries, they just... It's like they had to take some time to figure it out, and they dialed it in on that drive.
And it's obviously like it's not like, oh, a quarterback gets injured, oh, we got a couple practices to get through and get this new quarterback into the group. It's like on-the-fly job training that we're going here. Like,
yeah.
I don't think
– But they figured it out.
Yeah. Because I don't think Elias Luzzi waking up this morning expected to be taking some snaps at quarterback.
No.
And a nice kick, by the way, that's fielded at around the 3-yard line and smothered at around the 10. A phenomenal kickoff by Columbia Central to hold Napoleon within the 10-yard line. So even though game is well out of hand, Columbia Central is still playing hard.
They're playing like it's not out of hand. You know, and if they're able to get a stop, they get a turnover here. Let's say they get a turnover and score. And then the next time they get it, they're able to score quickly. I mean, they're back in this thing.
Yeah, and you never know. A lot of time left. Ball is going to be at around the 13-yard line, it looks like. So this is only the second time in the whole half that Napoleon has started a drive in their own territory. Furthest back all game, as a matter of fact. 4:52 left in this one. Clock has stopped. Napoleon going to rush this one off to the left-hand side. Going to be smacked right there. That looks like number two, Nolan Kirsch, on the play.
Now it looks like he was stopped by number one, Dylan Hammond. And, again, everybody was running right, and those are the only two over here on this side to make the stop.
So no gain for Kirsch, his first carry. And this is probably just going to be it the rest of the game. Napoleon, just a quick carry and then just let the clock run and take the maximum time. And they're in no hurry right here. Got the JV unit in here. Quick snap, hand off to the right, and going to be down. Maybe the ball coming loose there at the end. Columbia Central ripping it away, but I think the play was already whistled down with Nolan Kirsch on that carry again.
Yeah, you're bringing in a personnel change, too. You got five guys coming in, five guys going off.
It's like a hockey change right there.
It's changing lines. There's another one about ready to run off and came back on. I don't know. Do they look like they're a little light?
I don't know. Got another
lot
guy
of
switched off, yeah.
Bodies coming in and out over there.
3:23 and counting in this one. Napoleon with a 19-point lead. Well on their way in this one, but Columbia Central, if they can get a stop here, might have some more offensive snaps to be played in this one. Takes a snap, quick handoff to the left, rushing on the near side. It's Jaden Service, going to be brought down by two Golden Eagles, and it's fourth down.
That was Dylan Penix and Siler Nealis, both in on the stop there. Siler Nealis Jr.
That's what we do. We like to like to have a good time on these airwaves. So ball's going to be spotted at around the 17, 18-yard line.
It looks like they're, wow, a rare punt for Napoleon.
Yeah. Well, they haven't really had a chance. They had the punt earlier in the game on their second drive, but since then, they've just been deep enough in Columbia Central's territory that's not even worth it. So this is punted away and will go out of bounds at around the 30-yard line.
Still pretty good field position for Columbia.
So a little bit of a two-minute drill here for Columbia to try to end on a high note.
Yeah.
2:12 left, and we'll see if even they start sneaking in some JV players as well at this point. I think they're keeping, still see several varsity guys out there.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they do here. Are they going to
try
to get out here without any more injuries? Put it in like safety mode, or are they going to try to hang some more points up on the board?
Looks like they're going to try to keep playing hard, and that's what you want to see if you're Coach Dylan Zebrowski. Your team playing hard until the final whistle, regardless of the situation. As Luzzi takes the snap, thrown to the near side, deflected away and incomplete.
Dangerous pass there.
Yeah. Three guys in the vicinity. They target Dylan Penix.
But that's what they've been doing all night. And, I mean, we saw it. They've had success with it. They've got receivers that are, I would have to say that the receivers are better than the defenders on this one, because they've been going up and they've been winning those battles when they've had to.
I think they did call the penalty on the play. Yeah, they're going to move it up.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, pass interference. It looked like there was a penalty marker on the play, but it wasn't sure. It was a kind of a crowd there. It was right in front of Columbia Central's sideline.
The jerseys are the exact same color.
It's kind of hard to tell there. So looks like about the 17-yard line, 18-yard line on the penalty. Going to be a run up the middle, and it'll be second down. On the carry there, it was Kyler Nealis.
Ran into a variety of pirates. Nothing seems to fit.
Insert it's a pack, adjective here.
A fleet, variety. A depth of pirates. Can I make that
maybe
stick?
Is
that
a depth of pirates? That's a new one.
All right, well.
So second down and 8. Going to be lone lining up for the snap, throw on the far sideline. That's going to be incomplete, just out of the reach of the intended target, David Munro.
Yeah, threw it again into a double coverage on that one. Just threw a little bit behind the receiver. Out of the reach of everybody.
Clock stopped at 1:21. Napoleon leading by 19 in this one. As the game starts to wind down. And even though the second half got away from Columbia, still a very fun football game to kick off the season.
It's a fun offense to watch on both sides, really. Very different offenses.
Takes the snap, quick handoff, and smothered. Nealis brought down, runs into a wall of pirates.
Okay.
And it's fourth down.
There you go. And it was, it was number 27 that was in there first for the stop. Casper getting in there for the stop.
There is a Casper player.
Casper.
Casper DeFiore on the pole.
Yeah, him. Casper.
3 series on the left, 1 to the right. 36 seconds and counting in the ball game. 4th and 8 for Columbia Central. Throwing the near sideline and deflected away. That was almost intercepted. And at the point where Dylan Penix had to actually swipe it away as if he was the defender.
Yeah, that's what he turned into. The defensive back on that one. Prevented that one from being a pick.
So Napoleon will take over. Just kneel this one away. 29 seconds left. So 48-29 the score for Napoleon over Columbia Central. Napoleon still needs more guys out here, it looks like.
It does look a little shy, doesn't it?
No? Only C7 out there.
Oh, you're... You know, you go through the whole game playing the packages that you practice, and then towards the end of the game like this, you're trying to get guys in to get some playing time, and it can be a little confusing.
Yeah, we need 2 more guys out there by my count. I only count 9 out there. I mean, let them get the snap off, and that'll do it. That's the kneel down to end the game. Final score, Napoleon 48, Columbia Central 29, and both teams. That was a very fun first half, but unfortunately for Columbia Central, just those injuries started to pile up the game wore on. And it just made it a really tough game, a tough second half for them to overcome.
It was. It did. Those injuries piled up. You had a Napoleon offense that was just really hard to stop. And to win a game against that offense, you really needed to be able to keep pace with them. And the injuries prevented you from doing that. It was competitive. The first half, for the most part, was fairly competitive. And then it just, those injuries, the offense for Napoleon, it got tough.
We're going to wrap this thing up in just a moment. We're going to take one more time out, one more time. Final score, Napoleon 48, Columbia Central 29. Back in 90 seconds on K105.3.
Sometimes you might wonder if you're investing your money the right way, especially when the markets are going up and down. You might wonder, will I have enough to retire one day? How long will my money last anyway? If you've got questions like these, or if you'd like to get professional advice about your investments, give me a call. I'm Casey Sykes, a financial advisor at Morgan Stanley in Jackson. Look us up online at The Sykes Group at Morgan Stanley.
Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC. Member SIPC.
Introducing Form Energy, the energy drink that delivers best-in-class taste using high-quality ingredients at targeted levels with only natural flavors, zero sugar, and natural caffeine derived from green tea extract. Form Energy is designed to provide the hydration and mental focus you need to reach even the most ambitious goals in great flavors, Grape Smash, Screamin' Freedom, Orange Fury, and Blue Blitz. Unlock your full potential with Form Energy. Available now.
Is your driveway or parking lot looking worn out and dingy, littered with cracks and potholes? Spruce it up with Wolverine Seal Coating and give your home or business the curb appeal it deserves. And while you're at it, extend the life of your driveway or parking lot by protecting it from the elements. Fresh seal coating and patch filling will save you thousands in the long run compared to a full replacement. For seal coating done right, contact Wolverine Seal Coating for your free estimate. WolverineSealCoating.com.
You know who opens drains others can't? Minuteman Sewer and Drain. Sewer and Drain experts. The only ones you'll call when you have a problem. Because no matter when it is, as always, Minuteman Sewer and Drain is there with same-day service. 24/7, 365. Minuteman Sewer and Drain will be there on that day you need them. Never hesitate to call. They can fix a problem before it becomes a bigger problem. And they stand by their name and guarantee their work. They open drains that others can't. MinutemanSewer.com.
Football Frenzy. Back to the field on K105.3.
Final score from Columbia Central, Napoleon 48, Columbia 29. And, again, the game was close. Columbia actually led at times in that first half, but unfortunately just injuries started to pile up. They had four different players attempt to pass in this game, and that should just pretty much show the story. But tons of different players getting injured for Columbia at various points, and especially in the second half, they just couldn't get anything going offensively. I mean, you got guys who have probably not taken snaps, if ever, probably not since they were probably in elementary school. So it's tough when your team is in a situation like that. But you got to give Napoleon credit for just playing Napoleon football, and they just have so many different guys who were threats tonight.
And that offense that they run, it's so hard that is a very difficult – it's a difficult offense to learn. It's a difficult offense to master. But once you do, it is a difficult offense to stop. And Napoleon's been running that forever. And I really felt like if Columbia was able to stay healthy throughout this game, we would have had a back-and-forth game all night long. Because two very different styles of offense, but two styles of offense that were showing success on the field. And Columbia, I mean, they had two starting caliber quarterbacks there at the beginning. And then when they got down to their third and then their fourth quarterback, it just got away from them.
Yeah. So, again, Connor Renfrow got injured, and then Sammy Truax, the JV quarterback, came in and played the rest of the first half. But since he played the JV game last night, he hit a quarter limit, six quarters that you could play. So he was, based on that rule, not allowed to play in the second half. So it was then, at various points, Avery Soto was in taking throws. And then, unfortunately, he also got hurt on a sack. So then the rest of the game, it was Elias Lucy. Took him a little bit, but again, it looked like he was developing some rhythm with Dylan Penix there in that fourth quarter when the game was already out of hand, unfortunately. But yeah, Napoleon just, they looked dangerous. I mean, just so many different guys out there, specifically three different players that really dominated. I mean, Braden Marr had a touchdown, 136 yards. You had 107 yards and a touchdown from Xavier Skog, and then I mean, Jaden Service, he had a big second half, 77 yards and two touchdowns, with other touchdowns from Brenton Owen and Bryce Bailey as well. Even later in the game as well, Casper DeFiore with a touchdown late.
Yeah, it turned into kind of like a plug and play for Napoleon. Once they figured out that Columbia was having a hard time stopping him, they just kind of imposed their will. And there was sometimes there, just handing off the ball, going right up the gut untouched, and going almost the full length of the field to get the score. Once they figured out where they could put the ball on the field to where Columbia couldn't stop them, they just ran away with it. Literally ran away with it.
A couple guys for Columbia that stood out. In terms of the receivers, of course, you had Elias Luzzi finished with a touchdown reception, 89 yards on six catches. And then you also had Dylan Penix, who was really starting to roll there at the end as well, 103 yards with a touchdown reception as well. And then you also had running touchdowns from Lucy and Julian Boardman. But, I mean, Columbia Central really couldn't get much going on the ground, especially when these quarterbacks start going down. Then, you know, it's really takes that passing dynamic away. And just Napoleon, the way they load up the defensive line, it's just tough to get anything around them.
Right, yeah. Well, Columbia was trying to keep them honest really early in that first quarter. I mean, they were doing a good mix of running and passing. They didn't have much success on the ground. But, I mean, it was just enough to make sure that those the linebackers weren't dropping back and they were staying close to kind of defend the run. But, yeah, I mean, it was all about the air for Columbia tonight and all about the ground for Napoleon.
So, final score from this one, Napoleon 48, Columbia Central 29. Also got another final score, our other game on the McKibben Media Group radio network on WKHM. 27-20, Western taking down Jayhigh to open the season.
Okay.
So, couple fun games to cover tonight. And then another miscellaneous final score, Michigan Center, big 42-0 win
Wow.
Over Onstead, just completely blowing the doors off the Wildcats there.
Well, you know, center's always got some chops in football. They always do. But, I mean, any team coming out of the LCAA, that's a football league. Yeah, you've got teams like Hudson and Clinton and Onstead that have always had decent football programs. And, future looks bright for Michigan Center to be able to take that type of impressive win over an LCAA team.
Yeah, that's
gonna be
a team
fun to watch.
We have them on the schedule a couple times this season, and that's a team that I'm really looking forward to seeing as well. And Napoleon, I believe this was our only game that we had with them. Columbia Central, we'll see them another time later in the season. So got a lot of action. It's going to be a fun one next week. Western and Traverse City Central on these airwaves that we're going to be covering. So one more time, final score 48-29, Napoleon over Columbia Central. That'll do it here from the home of the Golden Eagles for the Mark W. Daly, as well as Kiki holding down the fort back in the studio, doing a great job as always. My name is Connor Dockery. Thanks for tuning into this presentation of high school football on K105.3.
That concludes tonight's edition of Football Frenzy on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3. This evening's contest has been brought to you in part by
AeroQuip Credit Union, King's Equipment, Grimes Plumbing, Wolverine Steel Coating, Cali Express Mart, Wilby Transit Mix, Form Energy Drink, Jackson Public Schools, County National Bank, The Sykes Group and Morgan Stanley, Farm Bureau, Jenkins Insurance Agency, Trips Collision Center, The Neighbors, Industrial Steel Treating, Clothing Carousel, Summit Orthodontics, and Miniman Sewer and Drain.